The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, before you get into the show, which I know you're super excited to hear because every fucking show of Thinking Outside the Long Box is amazing, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, and now Christine. Thank you so much for being a part of this show by donating to us on Patreon. If you too would like to support this show and keep it going every other week after every other week, then you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB where you can get your choice of all sorts of cool bonus videos and awesome prizes like hats and t-shirts, original sketches. I don't know if you guys follow Tim Husky's artwork on Instagram, but one of those original sketches got colored and it was fucking amazing. So join us today at patreon.com/TOTLB. And to those of you who are already subscribed, thank you so much. We appreciate you more than our own assholes.
From a kitchen table that Z2 Podcast isn't sitting at, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, Gabe, Tim, and Doyle.
Stoner.
There's like 85 animals here too.
Hopefully does not get startled easy. Because he might be wrapped in cords.
I don't know.
He's deaf. He can't hear anything.
But he does.
That doesn't mean that he doesn't get startled.
He startles.
That's true.
He only startles if you move really fast. So,
oh, well, I'm fat. I don't
if,
move fast.
Yeah, if you move your, if you like wiggle your feet before you stand up, he's not going to get startled.
I can just see him moving and just fucking take
just all the mics and everything.
Even if you weren't fat, you'd be like, I've been recreating the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. I'm not fucking doing
holy
anything.
Fuck, I'm tired.
Fast holy right shit.
Now. I'm tired.
Why are you doing that, by the way?
For my kid's birthday party.
Yeah, I'm not even going to remember at that.
My son will. He's six.
I've been looking at those pictures.
My like, daughter fuck. Won't. She's three.
I was like, fuck, I want Juan to throw my next birthday party.
We were talking about this.
We've heard that a lot lately.
I want you to throw like a super soft birthday party for me.
And Juan's like, fuck that. Never again.
No, it's fun. We'll do it again next year, I'm sure.
What'll next year be, though?
I don't know. Johnny picked this year because we remember we binged the movies and He's like, I want a Harry Potter birthday party. Was, all right.
Next year he's going to be
make
like,
it happen.
I want a Hunger Games birthday party. Juan's just going to buy an island, throw robot dogs on it.
He just buys like a huge industrial-sized crate of like Swiss Army knives. He's like, here we go, kids.
Drop it from a helicopter.
Live or die. Who wants birthday cake?
Oh, God, no. Well, all the adults will die at that point.
Birthday cake!
Stab, 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 murder, murder.
Hey, we're recording, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 99.
Holy
99.
Shit.
Holy
shit.
Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Tim.
I'm Juan.
And we are going to record this podcast thing early in the morning.
Well, I'm not very... we're going to record. We are recording
well,
early
I mean,
in the morning.
I assume eventually we'll do a podcast. We'll start recording, right?
No.
No. No, okay.
It's not even early. It's 7.
Dude, I know. It, part of it is
no, he gets up at 4 every morning.
I get up at like 4:30 every morning.
It's not really at all for me because...
Because you just got off work.
I'm still awake.
You're like, it's late.
He's like, it's still last night.
When will then be now?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know why you're all tired.
I stayed up a little too late.
Smoked a lot of weed.
Smoked a lot of weed last night. I got
nice.
Super, super
I was painting
stoned.
Wizard wands.
That is
painting
something
wizard
that,
wands?
That is euphemism. Something that a stoner would do is paint wizard wands.
I've never called beating off painting wizard wands before.
That's a very creative euphemism.
You need the paint. I mean,
also, that's usually plural for some reason.
There's a lot of dudes named Juan.
A couple guys like out there with two dicks.
I do like that Juan and wand sound almost exactly the same.
Wands, painting wands, wizard wands.
No. Alicia was helping.
Oh.
That just got a lot more interesting.
And we're talking about sex now. Bring it down real low.
After hours.
No,
hours.
This is before hours.
Oh, yeah.
This
before
is
2 hours.
Too fucking early. Oh, man. God. This is when I'm awake every day of my life.
I know. Me too. I just, for some reason, I think part of it is because I stayed up a little too late. And then also the dog came and laid in bed, which he never does. Mm. And he was warm and, like, just comfy. And I'm like,
he didn't even know he was in your bed, bro.
I know. He's deaf. He's deaf. He doesn't understand beds.
It was dark. He doesn't know what's going on. He couldn't hear you pat him. Oh, shit.
Oh, there go cords. Yeah, there go cords.
My dream almost came reality.
Oh, man.
Ooh, he just looked at me with fucking exorcist eyes.
He's all fucking dead.
Yeah.
I will take your soul.
So how's everybody's past few weeks been? I don't think Tim's been on the show for...
Fuck Tim.
A coon's age.
Wow.
A coon's age.
What is the...
Is that racist?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, like intensely.
I know that the word...
No, I was accidentally being racist right now.
I know that the word is specifically, if you were to aim it at somebody, is racist. I didn't know the phrase was racist.
The phrase derives from the same derogatory comment.
I did not know that.
So... Like a raccoon maybe only lives a few years.
I don't know. I just figured it was one of those things that old people say.
I'm just going to be really honest with you guys. A lot of that is racist, though. Let's not try to find the logic behind the phrase.
Okay.
Because racist people just make shit up to be racist.
I was like, so Bible's not around that much?
It's like when people say, like, Mexican people time or black people time. It's like the same.
Usually am on CPT time, so, I mean, it's okay.
I'm just saying, yeah, like.
I mean, I'm on color people time all the time, so.
I'm not.
I'm typically on time or early.
The beauty of my job is I don't have to be on time. I mean, they want me there around the time.
I'm sure they would
be
like
there. I don't get paid by the hour.
It's okay. Juan's 3 to 6 hours late every day.
We're all like way. 45 minutes late. Yeah, everyone. The fucking the boss, not the owner, the GM comes from Parker every day. So he's fucking there like 9:30. We open at 8:30.
He's late just
every
by
day.
Default.
Yeah.
That's a long fucking drive.
That's every
the same
day
at the post office,
but he makes $10,000 a month.
I'm late, like almost
at the
every
base. That's
day.
His base pay.
What?
My boss is like, you're 30 minutes late. You're 40 minutes late.
Yeah, he's
like,
the GSM.
Well, if that's the case, I'm still getting off.
What does that even stand for? Right,
General sales manager.
Yeah. Crushing it.
See, this is why an omnidirectional mic doesn't work.
I know. I understand. I'm just saying, I want to experiment with it. See,
a whole lot of conversation happening.
Exactly. I was like, I told him that. I was like, I can edit one of those conversations out in 4 different mics, but not with one mic.
Because I got that Blue Yeti.
Well, I want 8.
That I can use for...
You got a white Yeti over there, too.
I do. Yeah, that is the name of my dog. Good job, Tim. Low-hanging fucking fruit.
But, just right there.
I know. But it has omnidirectional for those big – so for those big shows where we are at John's or something, there's like 10 people sitting around.
Yeah.
I was like, I just want to try it out to see like what kind of audio we get from it.
Try it out.
Juan's like, I'm not editing that. He's like, I fucking refuse to edit that. Well, like, he was adamant. I was like, I understand that. I just want to see what it sounds like.
It should sound good.
Maybe try it out.
It'll
once.
Sound good.
The quality will be great.
Yeah,
the quality will be fine.
Is
but
to see how it works.
It'll be a pain in the ass to edit. Side note, that's how I said it. I wasn't like, I'm not editing that fucking podcast.
He punched me right in the eye with his dick.
Ooh, wow.
Jump for it.
He was all, paint my wand.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are we actually going to start this show ever?
We are. This is how every episode starts.
I know.
I'm curious why a wizard never stabbed anybody with their wand in those movies.
Well, the wands aren't pokey. Why would you stab somebody when you could just blow them away?
Moment of desperation, man.
I mean, he kind of stabs the troll.
The troll does get stabbed in the eye. Or in the nose, actually.
In the nose.
I am not as familiar with the Harry Potter stuff as you guys are, I don't think. I think I've watched all the movies once, and I've read the first 4 books like twice, and then all of the other books once.
It's because you're a muggle.
You know, it's...
Goddamn muggle.
It's largely because they were coming out. Like, as they were coming out, I got really annoyed with having to wait for the next book to come out. So after finishing the fourth book, I was like, I'm not going to read another one of these till they're all out.
I think
and
when
they all came out, I just fucking read all of them in probably like 2 weeks. Or
I think
like
when I found out about it, I think they were all out except for the last one. So yeah. I don't think it was a fast. I haven't read them all. I've been listening to them. But I've watched the movies a ton.
My girlfriend at the time was buying them like as they came out.
And yeah, I watched all the movies before I even touched the books, and then I never really touched the books. I got them on audio.
Yeah,
Audible.
Me too.
Audible. Brought to you by not our sponsor, Audible.com.
Could be our sponsor.
Probably. No. That's probably just a sign up, but you have to get enough people to.
It is a people thing.
I listen to a lot of books, Audible.
Give me some books.
Oh, man.
Listen to one right now.
So anybody got stuff that they, notes, whatnot?
Well, I mean, the biggest, I think, is what's going on with the Marvel Universe, right?
So let's start with that.
Marvel, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist getting canceled.
Correct.
I feel like that's a move for the Power Fist.
With the Power Fist?
Or sorry, for the Heroes for Hire.
I was like, what's Power Fist?
Iron Man and Power Fist. It's the other name for...
Luke Cage.
No. The other one.
Putting Johnny fists in your Bravo. Asshole.
Johnny Damn Bravo it. Was amazing, like, by the way.
Iron Fist. Iron Man and Power Fist.
Yes.
You just said that.
No, that's wrong.
Yes. You just
Power
said that.
Man and Iron
yeah, that's
Fist.
Why I was like, who's Power Fist?
Iron Fist.
Stoner.
It's
a little early for Gabe, apparently.
It is really early for
it's
Gabe.
Iron Fist and right, Power Fist.
Right now, John still is like, God damn it. God damn it.
I just talked to him last night.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
So the other day, I was bathing in whiskey, listening to
Yeah.
Bathing in whiskey, listening to titties. That's his show, basically.
Yeah. So. A random black guy say something.
Wow.
He wanted me to tell you guys as a teaser that if you've listened to like the last one or two episodes of Hollywood Babylon, he has an email read by Ralph Garman.
Of course he does.
And you can discover his real name.
So I tried to figure it out too because he had his band on.
But they read multiple emails, so we won't know which one's him.
We'll figure it out.
Figure it out.
Well, it'll probably say from
it'll
this so and so.
From Buttfuck Hillbilly, wherever the fuck he's
Bathing
from.
yeah, this one's from Buttfuck Hillbilly. From wherever the fuck he's from.
I feel like that's.
That's got to be John Still.
No,
he's correcting Kevin Smith.
A couple. That's how we'll know.
Oh, that's funny.
No, so.
You guys talked about this here thing. It's wrong.
Couple episodes had his band, like his music. It's the episode he did with Jonathan Blackshire.
Okay.
He had his music on it. And so I found the band and then was like looking at the people in the band, no names listed. I was like, what? Who the fuck you, man?
Because
like,
I think when he performs, he still uses John Still.
John Still, I think. Because
I think he was saying that's been his stage name for a while now.
Kind of homo has a stage name.
Wow.
John Still.
Prince.
Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind. Lots of
Prince
people, my bad.
May have been a homo. We don't know this.
He was bi-curious.
Yeah, I guess.
Bi-curious about all kinds of digs.
Oh, man.
Well, if you don't get your curiosity out on the first one, bro.
Speaking of Prince, they're starting to release a bunch of... music.
Would
yeah,
you like
well,
to buy
now,
a Watchtower?
Somebody didn't believe me when I told him he was a Jehovah's Witness. It was an old man.
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was like, he was a staunch fucking religious person.
Yeah.
Did he even listen to When Doves Cry?
The old man's like 90, so I think so.
They're starting to release a bunch of music of his that he had recorded because he had recorded like thousands of hours of stuff. But they're actually putting it together into kind of like coherent albums. It's not just like, oh, here's these random bits and pieces that he recorded. It's like, oh, here's a full song he did. We have 8 or 9 of them. Let's put together like a halfway decent album.
Kevin Smith, when he tells the story about not liking Prince in the beginning, he talks about how Prince's people would tell him, yeah, he likes to do this kind of shit and just never release it.
Never release it. Yeah.
It's weird. Are we going to get back to Iron Fist and Power Fan?
I guess, yeah.
Power Fan. Well.
So they're canceling it. There's no season 3 for either show.
Well, we started talking about it.
Which is weird because I've never heard anyone say anything negative about Luke Cage.
So
I have theories.
White supremacists.
I'm doing out there.
So let's hear the theories.
All right. So theory one, it's a power play from Disney because they want to bring those two over to their streaming service next year. Theory number two, they're just going to fucking do Heroes for Hire because what? The two of them being canceled side by side. That's kind
and
of.
And nothing else.
And nothing
like
else
Daredevil
so far.
And Jessica Jones haven't been canceled.
Live together, die together.
Jessica Jones has been in hot water for a season 3 for a while, according to some articles.
I don't think that's just because season 2 wasn't super popular.
Yeah.
They're not going to cancel the girl show.
Probably not. But, and then the other one was that maybe the two of them would be making cameos in the MCU finally.
I thought they were just going to cancel all of them. I figure they won't cancel Daredevil until it comes out. But I thought the theory two was the most
the streaming Disney
service. Yeah, that it was just going to the Disney service.
I mean, it makes
every
a lot
article
of sense.
I've read says that they're being canceled at Netflix. You know, it's not like they're being canceled permanently. So.
Right. Yeah. But we'll Netflix is starting to like actually cancel shows, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Orange is the New Black, great show, but definitely
final season
has gotten long in the tooth. You know, running out of plot ideas. It's hard to turn a like 220 page novel into 7 seasons of television. So,
right,
it's probably a good thing for them to move on from stuff.
New ideas,
yeah, has been going for a while. I've heard really good stuff about a lot of the new shows that are out that I haven't had a chance to see yet, like Haunting of Hill House, Maniac. I've heard a lot about. Watch the second season of American Vandal. Fucking hilarious. Like,
that's
if
like,
you haven't seen that show, Juan, you'd probably think it's pretty funny because it's like
I haven't seen it.
It's like one of those crime mystery shows, like making a murderer, where they're like trying to determine who committed the crime. But in the first season, the crime is some kid spray painted dicks all over the teacher's car, and in the second season, some kid puts like Ipecac into the school's lemonade. So he posted the video that's from the first.
I could have swore that was a real fucking video.
So there's this video that's gone around the internet quite a bit. That's just these kids just having diarrhea episodes throughout their whole school right after lunch. And everybody thinks it's real, but it's just from the second season of American Vandal.
Right.
The crime being perpetuated. Oh, dude, the name the criminal gives himself is the Turd Burglar. Like, I mean, it's just good stuff. It's super dorky, really funny. Literally potty humor.
Literally potty humor.
I Haunting on Hill House, we got that press release. I think I released it probably a month ago, a couple weeks ago. But that looked anything with kids freaks me out,
yeah,
and I think I'll like it. So it looked good.
The book is great. Like, it's one of my favorite horror novels, and I'm really excited to see it. I just haven't had a chance.
No, this
it's
last couple weeks I haven't.
It's hard
had
to find
no time
to watch serious, like, adult television, because by the time everybody's asleep and like you're ready to wind down your day and sit down and watch TV, I'm usually just so tired. I'm like, fuck it, wrestling, or fuck it, Impractical Jokers. Like, something that I genuinely don't have to think about watching.
The last 2 years, I've had a month or two of chill out time between San Diego Comic-Con and when the kids have their birthdays and I have my anniversary and shit just kind of gets crazy at the end of the year. But this year, I feel like it just kept going,
school.
And I just have not had fucking time to do anything.
A big part of it's school. As soon as your kids go into school, you're like, and there goes my fucking free time. So.
I don't know. I feel like I got more free time now. I like it. No, I just been busy though. Especially the last 2 weeks, we have done everything Harry Potter that we can come up with. So it's pretty cool.
It shows. A lot of Harry Potter happening.
Harry Potter.
So I got a bunch of notes on comic books and stuff.
Do it. I haven't read a comic book in forever. I just started going through because we were cleaning the house and moving shit off the tables and stuff. So I have 5 different John stops in bags still that I just was putting together finally.
So I'm
to read.
Like, I got really behind on comic book reading. I read a ton over the last couple weeks, but I pulled out the sagas that I was behind, and there's over 12 issues, which means I haven't read any of the run in at least a year.
I haven't read any of that run, so I collect it, but I haven't read it.
My Haunted Horror is the same way. It comes out bi-monthly, and I know I have at least like 20 of them.
I read issue 1 and 2 of Doomsday Clock, and they're on what, like issue...
I couldn't tell you. 7
or... I haven't even started Doomsday. I just finished with the Batman He Who Laughs shit.
What's the...
And that's bi-monthly too, I think.
Which doesn't even really end. It just peters off into other
Yeah, shit. That's the weird... I agree. I thought I missed something. I thought I missed a book or some shit. Because you're right, it doesn't... There's no definitive end to the story.
Well, it's like some of it's being carried on through like Damage and like some of the new heroes that they're doing, which Damage has become interesting.
Is that the one that's like,
it's one that I shit
that's
on
bad
at first.
Dick.
Yeah.
Cause it was, but it's kind of just become like Monster of the Week, except the Monster of the Week is he's fighting a new superhero or another. It's like Step Up. See if you can beat up Damage. And then like, no,
but that's bad.
No.
Dick, right?
No. Damage. He's like a new character that DC put out.
You can like Hulk out for only
a
period of
time. I thought
that
was the name of the book.
No, that's
so that's
Batman,
the name of the
damned.
Hero.
Damned.
Yeah, damn.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I have not read yet, but supposedly there's a dick in it.
So Damage...
Not supposedly. There's a dick in it.
I got two copies of that dick.
Damage is... So Damage is the hero?
Yeah.
That's the name of the hero?
He's not really a hero.
Well, the, yeah,
he's
the super...
He's
the
main character, for sure.
The meta. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. It's like you see this... Like Damage gets released in the first issue, and then... You know, he fights like Suicide Squad and like Wonder Woman and Superman, and people are just trying to stop him, and it's pretty powerful. It's not a like thinker of a book.
Are there many of those?
It is fun.
There's a lot of thinker
books.
Are
there?
Read the like Vision series from like 2 years ago. It's pretty badass.
Hawkeye was kind of a thinker.
Vision was a good story.
Where he was fighting the
I haven't read any
Russian
Vision.
Mafia and stuff. Speaking of thinkers, Oblivion Song, read the first 7 issues.
I haven't read
that
yet. I have it in my pool.
So
very good.
Basic premise, like some weird dimensional thing sits on top of Philadelphia and then like kind of goes away. And this scientist is trying to go into the alternate dimension and save people and bring them back, including his brother. Some of those people are great coming back. Some of those people don't ever want to come back. And it's... much in the same way that Walking Dead is like a slow burn to start out with. The first 7 issues, so it's like the first volume plus 1, has revealed very little about what's going on.
And that is Kirkman, right?
Kirkman.
It does hold – well, it holds my interest anyway.
It definitely holds my interest. It's just it's building in a way that says we want to make 100 issues of this. Yeah. Like, and it's a good book though.
Do you think that –
I really like the art in it.
Do you think that because he's Robert Kirkman that he'll get 100 issues? Can he put out, as far as comic books go, can he put something out, whether it's shit or not shit, and have it go for a long time, you think? Because he is who he is?
I think Outcast has gone on significantly longer than it would have if it wasn't a Robert Kirkman book. Because Outcast was like a soup, like nothing interesting really
it
happened
was like
in that
this
book.
This character is interesting. And things could happen that are interesting, and then they don't ever happen.
They don't until like until you're like 20, 24 issues in.
And that got like canceled. The show
got canceled.
The show got canceled from wild mismanagement, in my opinion.
But I think those are two vastly different fields, because the shows aren't driven by him. You know what I mean? He just kind of helps create them.
The show
can go away quick, right? That's crazy. That's why.
Like, when is it going to come out?
Whoa!
Came out 5 months ago.
There's a TV show.
That's why I asked.
I feel like the same thing's happening with Preacher, which is an amazing show.
That's just finished.
Where are the ads? Like, where's the like prompting?
They don't. In the comic book, I don't know. But
in the comic world, on
AMC, they definitely. There's a shit ton of commercials and ads when it's about to come back.
I think he just means like an ad in the back of a DC.
Yeah, that comic. I don't know. That
like,
I don't
Preacher
know.
Is like, in my opinion, like top 10 comic stories.
Yeah,
that fucking show is great.
And like all you got to do is like, hey, previews, like, why isn't like the next season in this or whatever? But I don't watch TV at all, so I literally, every time Preacher comes out, it's like halfway through a season.
You want
like,
me to just inform you? You want me to send you a message?
Sure. I'll just buy them, but.
Sure. All right, I won't send you a message.
Doyle's,
sorry.
You're Doyle's TV guy.
Yeah.
Hey, Preacher's on tonight.
Could have used the head up on Daredevil 3. Also,
it's not out yet.
Oh, I heard it was.
No, it's not out yet. Daredevil 3 is not out yet.
No.
Then fucking Dale, you lied to me, you son of a bitch. Nobody knows who Dale is.
I still haven't finished that Iron Fist, Power Fist. I haven't finished Power Fist season 2 yet.
Finished Power Man Fist.
Power Man Fist.
It's not as fun at the end as it is in the beginning, I'll Power tell you Fist that.
Man. Oh, really? Oh, fuck.
No, just drudgery after a while. Pain sucks. In your ass, really.
Damn.
Came in your ass. What?
No.
So Oblivion song, good?
Yeah, really good.
Another wild tangent.
Yeah.
It's good to read a comic I'll bring us back. That isn't just designed for like a trade paperback. Like to me, like almost every comic right now is designed to like story in and story out in 6 issues, no matter if they're cutting the story short, no matter if they're leaving out details.
That, I think that's a facet of TV too. TV does the same thing. We've had this conversation before where mid-seasons are getting bit like you have to have a story at the beginning and you have to have a story at the end. It's so weird.
I just like it's a good story, then I'm okay with the story going where it needs to go. Whether that wraps up in 6 issues nicely, that's cool.
Because Oblivion Song for sure doesn't wrap up.
No.
It the 6th issue ends on like a cliffhanger, and the 7th issue is very much so let's reinvent everything that's going on in the first like 5 pages. Like it's definitely more geared towards this comic has a long vision.
Right.
And you're either along for the ride or you're not.
Right.
Like,
it's weird when it comes to TV that way, because people generally don't watch TV like I do anymore. They will binge the whole season. So having something giant happen in the middle sometimes feels kind of weird.
I think a lot of people still watch TV episodically. I think more people watch TV, especially with like the mid-season finales and stuff like that. Somebody will DVR like the first half of a season and watch that all at once.
That's weird.
Because it's easier to, especially with shows where the season's like 24 episodes or something like that, it's easier to watch like 8 or 10 episodes than it is all 20.
Netflix.
I know that there's definitely like moments where I look at how long a show is and determine whether or not I even want to start it, because it's like, oh, 23 episodes this season? Fuck that. Like,
not me. I'm in.
Yeah.
500 episodes of Dragon Ball Z? Yeah. Let's go.
No. Nope. And you can skip it easily 3/4 of them.
I do not need to rewatch any of that, so I'm good.
I love watching it. But I have, again, some of my love for shit like that is because of my kids.
Yeah, there's definitely movies that I really like just because my kids like
it. Johnny's like, oh, let's watch Dragon Ball again. I'm like, all right, cool, let's do it. Let's watch Lego Batman. Oh, all right, cool, let's watch that movie. But I mean, there's things where I wouldn't normally go out of my way to rewatch them, but my kids love to watch them, so it's fun that way. You'll rewatch that shit.
I'm sure.
I promise.
At some point. If I can get.
You'll be like, fuck Goku! Fuck you!
If I can get Alicia's kids to stare at anything besides Fortnite, that alone would be a blessing.
Ah.
I literally couldn't make it through DVD the first time, so I will not rewatch.
I saw this amazing. There was an Onion article that said Elon Musk buys Fortnite and deletes it, and Elon Musk retweeted it. He's like. He's all, you know, not a half bad idea. I'm like, oh shit!
God damn it. Please, I love Elon. Please,
I love the fucking pictures that they show of him in those fucking articles of with him, and it's just the face he's making in those. It's just so goofy.
Right. I'll tell you what, buying anything his boring company makes is just profitable. I bought the Not a Flamethrower for $500. It's worth like $1,600-$1,700 now.
I just
have
love
you ever used
the,
it?
No.
I just love that it's called The Boring.
We should
company.
Use it on episode 100.
Good.
Yes.
The flamethrower.
Be pretty awesome.
I'm a little afraid of it after seeing some videos. But
it just blows up in your hands.
It seems a lot like a flamethrower. For not being a flamethrower.
I think he caught a lot of the – I think he got more popular the more kind of rebellious he got with his own fucking company. The kids love that shit.
Yeah.
They love rebellion.
The kids?
Yeah. The kids, the younger crowd.
What kids people in follow their 20. Elon Musk?
A shit ton of people in their 20s follow Elon Musk.
Okay. All right. Jeez.
That dude could run for president.
He probably could.
He probably will.
God, I hope so.
I'm just saying, like, he has that attitude where he just does not. He has so much money. He just does not give a fuck.
Not even conversationally. When he was on the Rogan podcast, I was like,
it was like yes, no answers while he smoked weed.
And he just was like, and we built a pit, and then there was a pit. It was a pretty big pit. And it's just like, what the fuck are you talking about, Elon Musk?
I love you so much.
Why'd you make this not a flamethrower?
He had to pass through customs.
So finish Harrow County.
Oh, man. I have not gotten there, but that's sad. That's a great book.
It ends well. You know, it's definitely a testament to story writing on the part of Cullen Bunn and just amazing artistic expression from Tyler Crook. They took a story from beginning to end in like a really successful way. It's just a super great book. It's kind of like Shudder, where I got to the end of it. I was like, fuck, I want there to be more of this.
That's another book I collect and don't read.
Shudder? Oh, I don't know why you do that. It looks so good.
Because I don't have time.
You do, but you binge watch TV.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You're too busy watching fucking 500 episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
Painting wands.
I need that for the show.
Yeah, because we talk about Dragon Ball Z all the time.
No, not Dragon Ball Z specifically. No! TV.
Should we have a DBZ episode or just
yes? No. Yes.
I have no desire to ever watch it anymore.
It's like three quarter screaming, yep. One quarter action.
That's one. That's going to be one of Juan's PCPs. PCCs.
PCPs. That's how it makes me feel when I watch it. Like I'm on PCP.
You should get high. Well, I mean, you always do anyways. Yeah. So it's not like it's going to bother you anymore.
I don't like DBZ.
DBZ PCC?
Yeah. Sounds awful. Read The Unsound, which is another Cullen Bunn book. It's about crazy people, like this lady that goes to work in this asylum, but she ends up in an alternate reality where she's the queen of blades, like razor blades. And it's pretty much batshit crazy. It's, you know, tonally, it's very much like the movie Tim and I watched last night that I'll get to here in a little bit, where it's just like kind of, what the fuck? Okay, I'm along for the ride. This is awesome. So,
have you seen that Norseman show on Netflix?
Norseman?
I think I only watched like three episodes, but it's like, it's set just like the Vikings TV show.
Right.
Except with like ridiculous, maybe Europeanish humor. Like, it's like Vikings not taking themselves seriously.
Nice.
Like, the Vikings are bringing a slave back in the first episode, and the slave's bitching about not understanding the like what's happening. He's like, nobody even told me we were going to Norway until today. He's talking about how good he is at learning new languages, and the Vikings like, this is really amazing. Like, it makes no sense at all.
That's weird.
But it was interesting. I think I'm going to keep watching it. It has a very bizarre sense of humor to it.
That definitely doesn't sound like something I want to watch either.
No, you should watch it, though, because like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, this is not very funny, but the humor is interesting. And then there'll be like legitimate real stabbing, like a real Viking show. Like, oh, that dude just got fucked up. And weird. Then back to like random kind of bizarre-ish humor.
So it's just like weird humor mixed with like gratuitous violence.
It's harder to explain than that. I think I gotta watch it again so I can explain it.
I mean, that sounded like you were trying to explain.
I know, it's not that gratuitous. But guy does get stabbed to death while shitting in the shitting wood pile.
In the hole.
Shitting in the shitting pile. Yeah.
Shit pile.
Does he have a shit pile?
Does he have a shit pile?
I think it is kind of like a shit pile.
Shit pile of shit?
It's off a tree.
Does he have a squat seat for his shit pile?
Actually, he gets stabbed to death.
It's like if Mel Brooks directed an episode.
Actually, he doesn't die there.
Just weird humor and murder.
Oh, man. Speaking of weird humor and murder, when we were at San Diego Comic-Con, I picked up Humans Number Zero.
What?
It's the Monkey Motorcycle Gang book. It's like probably one of my favorite.
I'm sorry, what?
Monkey Motorcycle Gang
Monkey
comic?
Monkey Motorcycle Gang.
It's like
game,
it's,
gang it's, comic. Jesus
it's like if God. Sons of Anarchy took place in Planet of the Apes is like the easiest way to explain the book.
That sounds hot.
It's pretty fucking amazing. But Zero was a comic I've been looking for a long time. They released it like right before the run started coming out on Image. And I think when we were talking to Tim Neely at San Diego Comic-Con, he was saying that the next like run of issues, which is about the main character being in prison, I think it's called The Jungle, is going to come out, I think, early next year, if I remember right. So I'm very excited for it. It's a really, really cool series.
Monkey Motorcycle Gang.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
He can't get past the premise.
I know. It's amazing. They're called the humans. There's like... They keep people as like slaves and make them fight each other. And it's awesome. Like, it's literally Planet of the Apes meets Sons of Anarchy.
Throw me that monkey wrench.
Bad joke. I don't know. Read Rick and Morty Dungeons and Dragons number one. It's pretty funny.
It is.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was.
I read it off of John's shop.
Just super dorky. Like, just, you know, Morty wants to play D&D because a hot chick plays D&D. And he wants Rick to give him some kind of, like, brain thing so that he understands Dungeons and Dragons instantly, but instead his granddad makes him play D&D with a bunch of old guys, and his level one keeps just dying over and over and over again. And then when they get to the end of the night, he's like, "You've earned it. Let's go." And they go to some like interdimensional arcade and plug themselves into like a hyper virtual reality machine to play a round of D&D. And the staff sees the changes that Rick has made to the machine and unplugs them. So they're stuck in like a virtual Dungeons and Dragons world with no women, which I thought was really funny.
It sounds awful.
The premise is ridiculous. The premise, really hot girl plays D&D and that's why you got to do it.
Dude, there's hot chicks that play D&D.
There are, but that's not, that is less than 1% of the reason why any man has ever started playing D&D.
Just saying, they exist.
I know they exist. Just saying, that's not... I've never heard that story in real life.
It's funny.
You call them unicorns.
It's funny. Yeah. So, like, Dungeons
I try. Fuck, I'm not even nerd enough, apparently. I tried to play.
Oh, my God. We've been playing... We're starting a game. It takes place Thursday night. Juan works on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So, why would I invite you?
See? I didn't even get an invitation.
Juan, can you come play D&D?
I don't know. No, I'm over it now.
Busy painting walls.
Busy
painting walls. I wish.
But yeah.
No, that's all right. I understand. It's all good.
If we move it to a weekend, I'll invite you.
No, don't worry about it, bro. You're good.
I already have a rogue that's built for you.
Does it sell cars?
Does it sell wagons?
Oh, my God.
It's a wagon salesman?
I should definitely make Juan's job into an NPC. Oh, man. But it's pretty good. I'm excited to see where the next issue goes. But
just bitches about not being able to go on raids with the party.
Sorry, guys. I can't go to the dungeon with you. I got to sell these wagons.
It's going to make me a good gold coin.
So a few episodes ago, we had Fuzzy Joseph on for his book, The War and Hope. Last time we went to John's, Fuzzy had left us... copies of it.
Yes.
I picked it up, read the whole thing.
I have not read it yet. I haven't had time.
So it's cool. Like, it's the premise is really interesting. You know, it's the apocalypse happens. There's demons on the earth, like, killing people. And there's, like, different levels of demons. There's, like, the actual, like, fallen angels and then, like, their little, like, demonic hordes. There's a magic sword.
I do want to thank him, though. I mean, that's cool as fuck. Yeah, it's
really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool for him to leave us a couple of copies.
The book's super neat. I'm excited to see where he goes with it. It's just, like, I like premises like that. Like, angelic heroes fighting demonic spirits is right in my wheelhouse when it comes to...
A War and Hope, right?
Yeah. Okay. Or it's actually called The War and Hope.
The War and Hope.
Because it's the name of the place. Okay. Like, it's a Warren named Hope.
So go check it out. Go read it. Yeah. Gabe recommends it.
I do.
We've had him on
so.
The show. He was really cool.
Yeah. So. The book itself is really cool. It's definitely worth reading. So
enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was really cool. Not a lot of people take the time out like that. I thought that was really cool.
You even drew a little sketch in it?
Yeah.
Like, autographed.
A little shout out.
To read it, but really, really
buddy, I haven't... I haven't read a comic
Dude,
book.
He's been painting a lot of wands.
To be fair, my kids are the coolest thing in my life, aside from my wife. So she's
just,
really
just in case she's listening.
Yeah, she's not listening. She'll never listen. She's the coolest thing, but obviously the kids are next. So
she's like, I
anything,
spend time with you. I don't need to listen to your fucking show.
They take precedent over anything. I'm sorry, Fuzzy Joseph.
So got two more books that I've read. So Gideon Falls.
Whoops.
Really? What are we doing here?
Whoops.
Oh, what kind of porn is he listening to?
This
Audible
is
porn?
Audible.
It's audio porn. It's ASMR. It's a lot of...
And then she said,
That would be amazing.
And then he was like,
And then he said,
And then she said,
And then he was like, yeah.
And then he came.
They used a lot of Jell-O for sound effects.
Oh, God.
Wow.
That just made me nauseous.
That's good.
What, just a bowl of wet macaroni?
Oh, man. Anyway, so Gideon Falls. it's Jeff Lemire's new book. The art is done by Lorenzo... Crap, I forget his last name.
That's a weird name.
He has like an Italian... first and last name.
Lorenzo Crap.
But Lorenzo a Crappini.
Crappe.
Wow.
Just kidding.
He'll never be on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, he would. I bet if we asked him nicely.
Yes, nicely. Just don't listen to episode 99.
Yeah. Sorry. I was very tired and just
we called you
it.
Crappini.
Crappini. So the premise of the book is that there's a guy that everybody thinks is crazy. That is collecting pieces of something out of the trash. And he's not crazy. Like, and by trash, I mean he goes to, like, the dump and digs through the dump. Or if he sees, like, you know, trash in the alley or something, he digs through it, whatever.
Okay.
And then on top of it, there's, like, kind of a priest that has been transferred to this little town called Gideon Falls, where weird... demonic kind of murder stuff is happening, and the two stories are basically colliding surrounding this mythical black barn that like evil stuff comes out of, but some people can see it sometimes, other people don't see it ever. There's a secret society that's always trying to protect Gideon Falls from the black barn, and it's pretty cool. It's weird.
I like the artwork a lot.
Yeah, it's Jeff Lemire mindfuck stuff too. Yeah. Like he likes to write stuff like that. So
I wonder if he's like
mentally disturbed.
He just writes. He's writing fucking everything right now. Like how is stuff just keeping?
I don't know.
How does he keep anything separate?
The guy's ridiculously creative. So. Yeah. And then
kicked your dog in the face.
He's good. And then the last comic that I read was the final issues of Hungry Ghosts, which was basically the last thing Anthony Bourdain ever put out. It's creepy, gross out ghost stories from Japan that have to do with food. And some of them are like super, super disturbing. There's like a kappa that pulls a pearl out of somebody's ass, which
Sounds
is hot. Nasty.
Sounds hot.
There's people that turn into like demons from eating like a cow-headed human because they're like starving. Like, I mean, it's weird. They're really weird stories.
Body horror.
It's like all weird food-based, like straight horror stuff and like mostly really gory and gross. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
CNN's putting out his last episodes right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was an all-day thing going on yesterday, but he had one more season of his TV show with them
pretty much
before
he
passed away.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was interesting to read it and be like, wow. Like, it's weird to think about that'll be, like, the last, like, comic book output he puts out. Because, like, Get Jiro was, like, so different, like, and so kind of engaging. And though humorous, like, it kind of took things a little more seriously, and this is just like gross out stuff, and it's funny that some things that were entertaining to him was just straight up like shit humor stuff. So I don't know, it was good. It was a good book. Super weird.
The art
creepy.
Looks fucking weird.
The art is all over the place because it's done by like each story is done by a different artist. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I'll have to check it out eventually.
Yeah, I think it's out in trade right now. Like, I picked it up in single issue. It's definitely worth picking up in trade because the four issues have, like, I think I want to say, like, 12 stories, like, between all of them, maybe 10 or something like that. So it's worth just having it in trade so you can just read through the whole thing.
I wonder if we could do an episode with a seance to talk to all the people that we want to talk to that we can't anymore. Like, I know it'll be bullshit, but it'd be interesting.
We'll invite us. What are those people called? The person who does the seance.
Like a medium?
It performs. There you go. Seancer. Medium. I actually was going to say that. I was like, that's not right.
I've never heard the word seancer, so I'm pretty sure that's not it.
Does that make us seancies?
Seancies.
We want to talk to Prince Anthony Bourdain and that dude from Aliens. So I know his name's not coming here right now.
And Black Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
And
who's been dead for a lot longer than White Michael Jackson.
Yes. And Jack Kirby.
And Jack Kirby.
Gabe fucked that up on episode 1.
That's the classic. That's the classic. The classic that's Gabe's a fucking deep moron.
And probably Stanley.
Well, did you have a chance to talk to Kirby a long time ago or something?
No. I mentioned that we should put him on the show like roughly 5 years after he was dead.
We did the same thing with the guy's name I can't remember now.
Because I had to correct you assholes. God damn, what the hell's
not
name?
You. I knew he was dead. He had died not too long before that, though.
It was these two.
Because I like him as an actor.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Aliens. Sharp he was
Stan. Aliens. Twister.
Yeah.
Ah, damn it.
We named an episode after his phrase.
Game over, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gone.
The fuck is his name?
Just hovering on me. Sucks.
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah. I was like, it's Bill something. Bill W. Oh, no. That's AA. My bad.
If we could seance or Bill Paxton into an episode, that'd be great.
We should get a medium.
It won't be real.
I have a Ouija board downstairs.
I am not trying to play with no Ouija boards. I need a real medium.
You're trying to summon no demons, bro.
We want to communicate.
I don't want demons. I just
Paxton
want famous people.
All. Game over, bro. Demon.
Shit!
An alien bursts through the Ouija board.
Oh, God. This is how it starts.
Get the salt.
I need a predator I need a young predator and an old predator.
That would be such a tight shirt. Like the podcast happening around a table with a Ouija board in the middle and an alien bursting through the center of it.
That would be fucking amazing. But we can't put an alien on it because we'll get sued.
It just has to look sort of like an alien.
Or like Bill Paxton, small, bursting through the Ouija board.
I think we'd get sued.
I think we could get away with that one.
I don't know. How does creative license take, I don't understand that
shit. If it's for something like that, because you've altered like what it is so much, you could get away with it because it's such a weird original idea.
That'd be cool, though.
I think it falls under parodies.
Yeah.
Parodies, you can do pretty much whatever the fuck you want.
Doyle's just like, fuck this noise, I'm out of here.
He had to
go and look for that Ouija board.
You're going to go crush my toilet, probably.
Said he had to pee. I don't know how much toilet crushing that happens during that.
He pisses like a fire hose. He's like pressure washing the bowl in there.
Your fucking toilet's going to be on its side.
Holy shit.
I read one comic that I can talk about.
Yeah.
Labyrinth Coronation.
One that you can talk about? You can't talk about the others?
No. The Wine comic I read.
Get some.
It's like a prequel story to the Labyrinth movie. It follows the Goblin King talking to his goblins.
How have we not watched that movie?
And he's like, I'm not
the hugest fan.
No, yeah. Oh man, I really like that movie.
It's a pretty fucking weird film.
It's good. It's just not
definitely weird.
We tend to watch things that are funny or just like over the top, and it's neither really. It's just kind of
it's in a safe place.
The next one is not going to be funny.
What's the next one?
We'll announce it at the next segment.
But anyway, long story short, it's like the comic backstory to how the Goblin King came to the Labyrinth.
Nice. Have you read anything about the Dark Crystal stuff?
Not yet. The
Dark Crystal prequel that's coming to Netflix.
I have actually.
I just read an article about it that said it's all puppets.
It's supposed to be like the war that they talk about at the beginning of the movie.
Between the Skeksis and the whatever the other things are called.
The weird dumpy looking Down syndrome guys.
Yeah. Another movie that's like okay in my book, but not not like the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like Dark Crystal is different.
Mm.
The movie?
Yeah. And I was talking about how they're bringing out the prequel TV show to Netflix. So
it was no Legend. It's pretty good.
See, that's another one. Legend is like okay, but it's just not great. Man, it's
I loved it when I was small.
You were never small.
It's true, I was born almost 12 pounds. I came out killing cows the day I was born.
Hey, where are them cows at?
Yeah. You spoke perfect.
Where's my knife at?
I need a mini chainsaw and a cow.
Yeah. I'm going to be a bunghole cutter.
A bunghole cutter.
That's a real job, by the way. That's not a fake job.
How about you? You read any comics?
Mostly the same ones you were going over, except for a few of the outliers. I'm kind of holding on to a few things that I don't want to read right now until they get a little deeper in. You just said it, the fucking Watchmen shit. I want to wait till it's done before I read it all.
Yeah.
Staying away from it. I haven't read a serial book for a while, which I have a lot of them. So no, no, comics have been kind of up in the air. I've been working a lot lately, though. I've listened to a lot of audiobooks. Cutting Bungholes. Just got done listening to Sphere, which is a book I've always liked. Listening to it in audible form was interesting.
Yeah. Saw Gabe last night. It's one of my favorite horror movies.
We were talking
horror thriller movies.
Which one?
Sphere.
Oh, yeah. It was an interesting movie. It was a weird movie.
Yeah.
It was cast well, but I didn't feel like it doesn't reach the book, but it's still good. I guess most movies don't.
Careful.
I bought a couple old Dark Sun books after we played D&D last week, so I just wanted to go
keep
back
rubbing
and
it in.
Those.
Like the novels or the source books?
The novels.
That was a crazy campaign setting because it was like all designed for like mass, like massive combat.
No magic, really.
Yeah, it was a weird.
No metal.
Psionics.
And the only time they've ever done psionics well, in my opinion, usually psionics are
stupid
and like just off the charts ridiculous.
Yeah, I hate. I never play with them.
Which
so
supposedly
annoying.
There is a way to play them with the new book, but they probably suck too.
I'm out. I don't want to play them.
There's like a weird tinker class that sounds kind of fun. Make like golems and shit.
You and your stupid gnome bard.
I'm a bard though. I'm not going tinker, man. I'm role playing a backpack. I'm not even playing a bard, really.
He developed this elaborate backpack that he hides in. It's ridiculous.
If you were a gnome and you wore a giant backpack, you keep the center part open, you can go inside from the back to hide.
I feel like awesome. It's still a pretty big backpack, though.
Yeah,
like,
it's got to
be like this big.
Yeah.
I mean, the one D&D
maybe it's
podcast.
TARDIS, bro. It's just
maybe it's
on
TARDIS.
The inside.
I mean, this D&D podcast I listened to, the one cleric has a haversack, and it's just like filled with like weapons and like a heavy lead box that they're hiding this trinket in. Like, there's basically like a pocket universe inside this backpack.
Yeah, there's like bags of holding and stuff.
I play with no encumbrance, so people end up carrying like crazy amounts of stuff because there's no point. It doesn't need to be like Skyrim where you're like, I need to go back to town and sell these like 30 nails.
Yeah.
You can't fast travel here. There's a crab.
You picked up a nail. You're now over encumbered.
I put a little wheel on the bottom of my backpack, though.
You've never played Skyrim?
No. Nope.
So like,
I've never played any of these games that you've never invited me to.
Dude, Skyrim's a video game.
Dumb fuck. And you have an Xbox to play it on.
So
I just don't have time.
So
to play
in
video
Skyrim,
games generally,
there's like encumbrance things where based on your strength, you can only carry so much weight, and it's down to like tenths of a pound. So like, say you have like 399.9 pounds, and you can only carry 400 before you like are slowed down, you pick up like a nail or like a plate, and that takes you from I can travel normal speed to not travel normal speed. Like, just oh, this is it. This plate is too much.
Damn you.
Oh man,
you're pretty beat as fuck over here moving at normal speed with 400 pounds.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's like,
ooh. I was just making up numbers.
And I always like the small characters in games like that. It's like when I play like a wood elf most of the time because I like bows.
Yeah.
And they're tiny. Even when you slide that little like muscular slider on the build a character thing all the way up,
they don't look any more muscular.
No, they're just like my size.
Which is to say very unmuscular.
Yeah. Very frail and weak.
I only got two more things. Online on YouTube, I've been watching a wrestling show with no wrestling in it called 10 Pounds of Gold.
That sounds awful.
It's about that gay thing you were talking about last night.
It
sounds pretty good.
Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins bought the National Wrestling Alliance.
Gross.
And why is that gross?
That's so stupid.
What?
Nothing. This is a bigger conversation. I hate when fans think that they can run a promotion. It's just so stupid.
So, but he is.
No, though. I know he's because he has money. That doesn't mean it's good. You might think it's good, but the masses really good, don't think it's good.
Oh, they're crazy.
Well, all right, that's fine.
A lot of fun.
Fuck like Billy Corgan.
Oh, whatever. The show online.
I'm over him.
Is
Impact. They have nothing but money, and their fucking show has been terrible for 10 years,
dude. Slammiversary was
good. Okay, they had one good event. Let's just say they had 10 good events in 10 fucking years. Boo, cool. Who cares?
Dude, like the last like 6 months, Impact has actually been pretty interesting.
I don't care. It's just so stupid.
You don't care because just don't care.
It's stupid because, it's a company that has no... That's a company that doesn't even like wrestling. They just put it out because they have the money to do so, and I hate that.
See, that makes sense. But, like, honestly, the quality of wrestling on Impact has been a lot better.
I'm with you. And they go through the phases, and it's just it should have died out a long time ago.
But, anyway, going back to 10 Pounds of Gold.
You guys want a fake fight about it?
I'm waiting for her to throw some gauntlets down.
Yeah, I'm fucking out.
So,
I'll rep this right
now. The WWE had its moments where I was just like, I can't. This is awful, too.
Every wrestling show is like that. Going back to it, though, 10 Pounds of Gold is telling like this really cool story. Stop it. Let me talk. Jesus. It's telling this really cool story where they trace like the lineage of the belt, and then they put it on somebody that basically was so sympathetic that it made for a good show. It's like this 53-year-old dude that's also a school teacher happens to be like the NWA champion, and they build up a new character to take the belt from him, and then they build up Cody Rhodes to fight for it at All In. And the story they're telling ends up being like really, really cool and really engaging. And it's made me excited to watch their pay-per-view. I mean, it's this weekend, but I probably won't watch it till day after tomorrow or something like that. But I mean, it's been good. Like the story they're telling is interesting enough that I've gone out of my way to watch a lot of the wrestling matches. And
you'll watch it after the movie day after tomorrow with Dennis Quaid.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
But in general, like the actual wrestling that is surrounding like the story that's on YouTube is really cool, and I like the idea that you know they have this show that's free online, but to watch the wrestling matches, you have to watch different like independent wrestling shows, which puts eyes on a bunch of smaller players that, you know, can get a little money off of it. And it just, I don't know. It's a really cool idea. So
yeah, fuck Billy Corgan.
Yeah. In some ways agree, and I think he's done a smart thing by saying, here's the money, I'm going to let professionals like run the rest of the stuff. And that's, I
See,
think that's
weird,
probably
though,
a smart way of doing it.
He went on Rogan too, I believe.
And he's batshit crazy.
He is, but he seemed like he fucking loved wrestling.
He does, he's a giant fan.
So then why is it weird that he brought
just,
it?
It's not weird. I'm not saying it's weird. I'm just saying it does not equate very well. He did the same thing on Impact Wrestling, and he tried to insert himself in it. And
but you like football.
Nobody liked it. Yeah, but I don't run a football team.
So
but
that's
everybody who owns a football team is like typically a giant football fan before they buy the team.
So here's the difference. If you're a football fan and you're rich and you buy a football team – be a fan of the football team that you own and hire professionals to do the job.
Generally,
they
I
do.
Mean,
yeah,
the biggest, the only one is the Cowboys. He's really the biggest owner that involves himself in day-to-day business. But most of the other coach or owners, they hire people to do that shit.
So Billy Corgan.
Now he might, but Impact, he didn't.
In Impact, it was like a fan trying to be a coach, and that doesn't work. In NWA, it's like a fan that is willing to be like the face of it, but the day-to-day operation of the show, he doesn't like overly involve himself.
I'm so upset. NWA used to be something great.
It used to be something amazing. I'm telling you,
dude. Give it 2 years, it's going to be something great again.
Nothing's going to compete with the WWE.
You never know.
They're not, and that's not even to say that the WWE is great, because they're it's not what it used to be, but nobody will unseat the WWE. You could say it as much as you want. It's not going to. They have all of the money. They have all of the sponsors. They have all of the shit necessary to stay where they're going to stay for the next 20 years.
That's an argument we can have on the other show.
You know what they don't got?
I don't think anybody else will unseat them at all. Impact's been trying to do it with all the money in the world for 10 years.
What
is it? Wrestling watching?
Pizzazz.
Shit. It just won't happen.
I don't have enough time for fake drama.
Everything you watch and read is fake drama.
This is true.
It's not intentionally fake drama.
Yes, it is. It's more intentionally fake drama.
No, it's not.
The Walking Dead is fake drama.
Literally everything.
It's telling a story that inside its own realm is real. Like, wrestling inside wrestling its own does. Realm is still not real. Like,
yes, it is. That's what they do.
Most of them will fully admit to it being fake.
But not
so will
TV.
Rick fucking Grimes, if no, you talk
I mean,
to him.
I mean, like, okay, when I watch wrestling, it doesn't even come across as real while I'm watching it.
Well, because you're only watching one episode.
Yeah, but you can see how fake it is while you're watching it. I'm not saying it's not entertaining or fun still.
So you're telling me that you really believe that Rick's killing walkers?
No, but it looks like he's fucking killing walkers.
No, it doesn't.
When he shoots in the head explodes. When, like, you're punching somebody in your fist fucking 4 feet away from them, like, that's a difference.
Yeah, but that's because you're watching crappy wrestling.
I think you're watching one again, I don't believe that wrestling at all is in a really good time right now. I just don't. But you're taking one snippet of something and you're basing your whole opinion on it, which is fine. It's up to you. But I'm saying that within wrestling, there's usually after WrestleMania, there's usually giant storylines that occur month to month, and that's within the real life of the episode.
Yeah, I used to watch wrestling all the time, but I'm saying now, like, you get, and I'm not even saying it's bad. I'm just saying it is what it is. You get, like, these trumped up interviews where people are talking, and it's just like, well, we're over the top, and then these fights that are way over the top and obviously not real. But that's fine. They're still fun to watch. In my opinion.
I just don't think you haven't watched in a while. I don't think
earlier this year.
I don't think the interviews are over the top. They're not. I don't think
the interviews
are cartoony.
Overly scripted now.
Yeah, that's. I mean, like, I don't know. The whole thing comes off as a little too much to me now, like than it used to. But this is me. Not saying it's bad or anything.
I think it's bad.
I know people love it.
I think it's bad.
Dicks.
I watch wrestling when I'm here, and that's it.
I masturbate to it, but I don't like watching it for any other reason.
I love wrestling. I love wrestling. I but now do. It's not a good time to be a fan. I don't know. It's at a low point.
I think you're wrong, but that's okay.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time he's been wrong, especially on the show.
We'll see.
The highest times was in the 90s. It was the best.
Oh, I can agree with that. Stone Cold, fucking. Because
people were watching. You can't.
That
that's
more
the thing.
Like, what's weird is that it's more like
those
the 2000s.
Those ratings were in the 9 point somethings and the 10 point somethings. Now we're talking any wrestling show garners maybe. If
two
it's
million.
Not the wrestling.
WWE.
If it's not the WWE,
2 million.
Yeah, you're talking maybe in the ones. It's
no,
just not a good time.
Their low numbers are like two still.
No, but
still,
I mean, if you're not WWE, if you're watching, Impact just got changed to a different slot.
Yeah.
On pop TV. Like, seriously. Like, it's just not a good time to be a fan. Small promotions have had really good wrestling forever. That's never changed. But as a fan of the medium itself, not just going off and finding the cool wrestling shows in the crevices of the internet, like, it's just not a good time. Wrestling's not in a good state right now.
I like the way you say crevices.
It's because you got, like, the UFC.
Right. No, I agree with you.
I 100% agree with that too, especially with what happened at the last UFC thing,
it's fucking amazing.
Which was basically just a wrestling angle in the UFC.
But a lot of these UFC fighters are trying to turn into characters because they're realizing that makes a lot of money.
Right.
Well, and there's like,
and then they actually beat the shit out of each other.
There's already reports that Cormier, am I saying that guy's
Daniel
name?
Cormier.
That he's like doing a tryout for WWE like later this month. I mean, so you might see Lesnar versus Cormier in the UFC and in WWE.
He's going to retire soon.
That's probably why he's doing
fighting. Mm-hmm. He said he's got two, maybe three matches left. He said he wants to retire by his 40. I think he's going to, honestly, I think he's going to get beat up by Brock Lesnar if he's able to come fight.
I don't know. Everybody they say is going to beat him up.
So fucking
except
massive.
For Roy Jones or Rob Jones. Roy Jones.
John Jones.
John Jones. It sounded wrong every time I said it. I was like, this is not a real name.
Roy Jones boxes.
John Jones.
He's got two first names.
Everyone that says he's going to kick his ass at John Jones, like, he pretty much dismantles. So.
Yeah. No. I agree with you. I agree. I just think Brock Lesnar's just a fucking massive beast. The only people that have beat Brock Lesnar so far, except for in his first match, or first two matches, I think, were other massive dudes. He's never lost to anybody.
When you watch
really
him
small.
Fight, though, I mean, this is just me. He's not that talented. He's just big.
No, he's just big. He's just a heavy hitter.
Like, Randy Couture was beating the shit mm-hmm. out of him before he just, like, lucky caught him with a punch. Mm-hmm. And that's because his fist is as big around.
He's
like,
massive.
Seriously, when they played the replay, it looked like his pinky knuckle caught him. Just like with his pinky knuckles the size of an orange, so took him out.
I do love the UFC too. So my biggest argument there was I could watch UFC all night and have fights that end in 3 minutes, you know, or I could watch wrestling, and I know I'm getting each match is at least 7 to 15 minutes of wrestling. So it was
one of the
just
reasons why I never got into UFC because like. Like, I got a buddy who's really into it, but he also is, you know, he's an MMA fighter on the amateur league and on the East Coast, so he goes to all that, like, pay-per-view mm-hmm. shit. And, like people spend, like, hundreds of dollars to watch, like, a five-minute UFC fight on pay-per-view. I'm like, that's money wasted, bud.
Those cards are, like, seven hours long.
Now they do them big. That Khabib fight was about 20 matches. All it started at 4. And it ended up fucking
that.
Like a 10.
They've been like
so
that for a
long
time. It's just people don't usually watch the pre-card
fights. Right. But it's like what Mike Tyson used to be. You'd pay $65 to watch a pay-per-view for him to beat the guy up in 5 seconds.
Yeah, and I mean, they've been conscious of that. It's like if you buy a show and you watch the whole thing, you're going to be there for
fucking hours. I agree with you now. That's for sure.
Yeah, the main fight could end in a second.
Yeah. It is cool. I like them both.
I
like wrestling and UFC. So,
yeah,
dude talks his mouth off for 6 months and just knocked the fuck out in 3 seconds. Makes me happy.
I enjoy those fights too. I just know I would be really disappointed if I paid for a pay per view and that's how the fight went.
Paying for a fucking ticket to go see that shit.
That's the one thing about UFC is that like is not accessible more? To fans really
the
to go
tickets,
watch them.
Yeah,
fucks it like the nosebleeds in Vegas, like a couple $100. Minimum.
Yeah. I'd still like to go.
Although football's not,
that's for sure.
Football's not that accessible anymore either.
Yeah, I haven't looked at a wrestling ticket in a while, but we went the last time we went to WrestleMania, I think we paid $300 a pop and we were on the floor at WrestleMania. So
I mean,
we weren't ringside. We were probably five or seven rows back, but we were still on the floor. So
that's pretty good.
It was pretty good.
When
we went to
Raw and we were on the floor about the same, like 6-7 rows back or something like that. But I think the tickets were still like $80 a piece or something like that. I mean, it's not cheap. It's just not.
I'm weird because we have different definitions of what cheap and expensive is.
Yeah, because you make money and I have
not,
four kids.
It's not that I make money. It's not. It's just a facet of how our lives run. That's cool. That's fun, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you make
poor,
way more
not
money
poor.
Than
no,
I do.
No, that's not. But that's not what I mean.
I have to pay for way too many kids. It's okay.
That's
I
not what I mean,
that.
Though.
You're trying to go to a Broncos game lately, though? Last Broncos game I went to was like $600
for 2
people.
Don't worry about
that,
bro. That shit's going to get cheap here pretty soon, too.
I don't think so.
Did you wrestling, guys?
Damn,
it's
Broncos.
Like $45 ringside.
Evidently, they can lose every fucking game and still charge $500 a ticket.
See, the midget wrestling turns me off because it's not. I don't find entertainment in poking fun at little wrestlers. Like, I don't know, it just doesn't seem fun
but
to me.
What if they're just taking
fun.
It seriously?
I just want to watch like little what look like little children wrestling.
It just doesn't it just doesn't sound fun to me.
All right, then you don't have to come, asshole.
I also want to see Michael Kirk going
get a boner.
Oh, yeah. just mouth breathing the whole time.
Ooh, that's fucking weird.
All right.
Party's dead as well.
So I got one last. It's crazy.
See, that's kind of weird because, like, that argument.
Loudest mouth breathing ghost of all time.
That argument makes sense. But it's also like saying I don't want to watch, like, women fighting. Because, like, those, I'm sure those midgets are, like, legit.
I'm sure they are.
They're like, they want to wrestle, bro. And I'm you're like, I don't like it that you midgets wrestle.
No.
That's it makes me feel weird.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
You say midgets can't wrestle?
Let's look at it this way.
We're being a sizist.
WWE is putting on, they put on, an all-female
it's coming on.
Cast. Yeah. An all-female show that I was not for because not because they were women or because they were midgets, but because I don't think that... Because
they were midget women.
I don't think the talent is there yet. There are many talented female wrestlers. Charlotte Flair, there's a lot of talent, even on the indies. There are a lot of talented females, but the WWE does not, in my opinion, they don't have enough to fill a three-hour pay-per-view by itself.
And you can tell because they put together like a giant battle royale that has almost all of their female cast.
So in the scope of a show, a whole show, like a regular 3-hour show, if there was two small people wrestling and they were fucking amazing, I would like that. I'd enjoy that more. But to put on a 2 or 3 hour event with just small guys who are they're in there for a comedic effect as well. Let's not just scroll past that. Come on.
How do we know?
Come
because
on.
The people that go to it, that's what they're going
yes,
to it
that's,
for.
Yes, that's
for
what
the
I'm saying.
Part.
I don't enjoy that. In the scope of a regular show, if there were two amazing female wrestlers on there, I would enjoy the fuck out of that show.
We're making assumptions.
Good.
How do you know that there's not going to be like some fucking absolutely entertaining?
I don't
two
know.
Two midgets wrestling.
There might be. But I don't want to drudge myself for
these are the
world for that one show.
These are the world's best midget wrestlers.
That's a complete lie, too.
No.
It's actually quite possible that these are the world's best midget wrestlers.
It's not possible.
Those guys live in Mexico.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. That's not true.
Oh, I'm sure they shipped a couple over here from Mexico.
Mexican midget wrestlers.
Yeah, it doesn't cost much.
Put them in a box.
I just don't want to put myself
the UPS,
through the
one
whole
price
thing.
Shipping. Mexican midget wrestler.
I want the females to have a great event, and I want for nothing more because female wrestling has taken a giant fucking slump for a long time. I want all the great female
was it really
wrestlers
good?
To be wrestling. Huh? It was good. Yeah, when Lita and Trish and all them were around, Victoria, all of them ladies were putting on amazing fucking storylines and matches at a time.
Now, so what's frustrating now is every storyline is they're friends or they're not friends.
See, I watched it when I was in high school, and it kind of just seemed like an excuse for TNA and TNA. But
well, yeah, they were.
Which is fine by me.
He took a turn from hiring real wrestlers who could actually wrestle to hiring models who they trained to wrestle, and it looked awful. And that's the thing. I want this thing to be good, but I know that at this point,
wrestling is terrible.
at this juncture, I don't think that it's a thing that's
and
going
Barbie
to... I mean,
Barbie suplexed Brenda,
it,
and Brenda died.
I'll probably watch...
People will watch it.
I'll probably watch at least the last few matches.
Yeah, people will definitely watch it.
I want to see... Flair and Charlotte again. Or Flair and
Flair
Lynch
and
again.
Charlotte.
I met your father in a bathroom.
That's
that
creepy.
Remind me about that later because there's a podcast you could get on with an email for sure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So
that's
last
a little
thing.
Alarming.
Last thing that I'm going to.
We've been going for an hour and 10 minutes, so
this
we
is
can
my,
take a break.
This is my last
this.
Thing. So Tim and I, with Rob Walker from Victorian Cutout Theater, watched the most metal horror movie.
Oh my god, so
ever
fucking good!
Last night, we watched Nicolas Cage and a movie called Mandy.
Mandy,
it is fucking unbelievable.
Far and beyond, like one of the most in fucking sane movies I've seen in a while.
It is. From beginning to end, one of the most interesting movies I've seen in a long time. The guy that directed it is named Panos Cosmatos. He's a Greek director. He's only put out one other movie called Beyond the Black Rainbow, which I was going to watch last night too, but I was just like fucking exhausted.
I kind of PCC'd a little bit last night too. I looked it up. So apparently that guy was like camera crew on Tombstone.
Yeah.
Which is like a really bizarre jump.
But he has created literally the visual equivalent of like a heavy metal album. The plot revolves around Nicolas Cage and his wife or girlfriend named Mandy. Nicolas Cage's character, I don't think, has a name. I don't think they say his name through the whole thing.
But he's like a lumberjack.
He's the Reaper. That's what he is. But
yeah.
He's like a lumberjack in the woods, like somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. And one day this cult drives past his girlfriend, and the cult leader's like, I need her. Like, I want her in my life. And he calls one of his cultists over. He's like, you know what to do. And his cultist dude goes out into the woods, and the movie takes like a complete tonal shift from like evil cult members that are just crazy kidnapping a lady to like actual demonic entities and like fucking crazy town. He blows this like ocarina and like summons these three like motorcycle riding demons.
Yeah, they're like, on like ATVs and one of them's on like a Harley.
And like it goes from like plausible to like dark fantasy movie like fucking immediately.
This turn right here.
The demons kidnap his girlfriend. You know, the cult leader tries to like indoctrinate her into the cult by giving her LSD and then like the sting of some like insane insect that they have.
Yeah. And then he like gets naked and tries to make her listen to his music that he made.
And she's like, she's into metal, so his like hippy dippy bullshit music she hates, and she starts making fun of her. So they put her in a sleeping bag and burn her in front of Nicolas Cage, and he goes crazy.
He goes full metal.
Dude, he like forges a giant axe. He goes and gets like
happens in the movie.
This is real. Like he forges a giant axe. He like
gets a giant fucking crossbow. Giant
crossbow that, you know, he calls the Reaper. He gets special arrows from like his friend, and he like he has to kill like, these demons. One of them has a giant sword for a dick. Like, I mean, it's just
the scene between him and like the mentor, air quotes guy. He's like, what do you hunt? And he's like, religious fanatics. Like, and he's like, I didn't know they were in season. Like, completely deadpan, like, not meant for laughs, but we were all rolling.
Dude,
you have to stop explaining it, though, because I want to watch it now.
You fucking watch this film.
It is genuinely the most... The first time
a return to form for Nicolas Cage, is what you're saying.
Is he just in this point in his career where he'll just say yes to fucking anything?
Dude,
absolutely.
This yes. Though, I feel like...
The answer to your question, yes.
This is a good choice for Nicolas Cage, because this is... Ultimate Nicolas Cage. There's scene after, like, and I'm not spoiling anything. Like, after after the tragedy of his girlfriend, he goes into the bathroom. He's in a pair of tighty whities and a t-shirt
with like a tiger on it.
With a tiger on it. His hands are like all fucked up, like from being wrapped in barbed wire, and he's got like cuts on the side of his mouth from the same thing.
And he is just pounding a bottle of gin.
He's like pounding a bottle of booze, and he pours it all over his hands, and he's like scream, cry, laughing for like 3 minutes.
Scene is painful if you're not a Nicolas Cage fan.
Like he goes, he literally is doing the. Like, it's unbelievable. And the whole time you're watching it, you're like, I understand. Like that, yeah.
Gabe looks over at me and we're like, this was the role he was born to play. This was the role
Nicolas Cage was born to play. It's fucking unbelievable. It was such.
Like, you just be you, Cage. You just be you.
Pretty much.
Is he the best or is he the worst? The world may never know.
In this one, he's the best.
He is the absolute best.
Dude, but the movie is fucking visually stunning. Like, visually, it's one of the more creative movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Plot-wise, really cool story. Just crazy. The whole thing's crazy.
The way I
kind of explained it when I was talking to Rob and Tim afterwards is the first time I ever saw Evil Dead, like the original Evil Dead, it was kind of that way, where I was just like, some of it's funny. A ton of it is like just horrific and disgusting. And as you're watching it, you're like, this is amazing. This is something totally different and really special. And that's how Mandy felt too.
Let me
Where did you watch this on?
I rented it on Amazon.
Let me murder the sword dick demon and then snort like a gram of cocaine off a mirror.
And then like ate demon, what the demons eat as a drug. And
yeah.
His face literally melts in an animation sequence.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's like if you took the ending to 2001 Space Odyssey and then took like Death Clock with like live action.
It's pretty awesome. So yeah,
I'll give it a watch.
And the cinematography is beautiful.
Yeah,
all the color, use of color, and everything. It's a very saturated movie.
Visually stunning, and like overclocked on the audio. So like even when my TV was kind of turned down, the music and stuff distorts, and I think it's like intentionally done that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of ASMR. It's done beautifully.
It feels like intentionally, like it's supposed to look and feel like a Italian or like Spanish horror movie from the 80s. Like it's really neat. So, yeah.
Has anybody watched Venom yet?
I did.
Oh, that's right, you did, huh? How'd that go?
Well, that was pretty good. It's kind of like it felt like the C script from Deadpool 1. Like it's
making a shit ton of money.
It's just it's entertaining and it's got funny parts. But it's just not as good as I feel like it should have been. But it's still really good. You know, it's hard to explain.
The reviews of people watching it have been really good.
Like it
definitely
is good.
Has the big critic viewer split,
yeah.
Where the critics have given it like a 38 and the viewers have given it like an 80 or something like that.
Like, it's really good. It's really entertaining. The funny parts are really funny. All the CGI looks pretty fucking good. The end fight between Venom and God damn it, the hell's name? Riot?
Yeah.
Is really well done. But just felt like it needed something.
It needed carnage.
Yeah, needed carnage. But I guess he's the post-credit scene.
Yeah, but I think, in my opinion, in a world where you're not sure a sequel's coming, you
make,
fucking put out
make
the
big
good
one
shit.
First.
Yeah.
Venom, I mean,
because you can go into other shit in the sequel, but Carnage needed to be in that movie.
Yeah. And maybe they're hoping.
It's a little too much wad, maybe.
Maybe they're hoping that.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's like, maybe blow too much wad. With Venom.
Can you blow too much wad? Is that a thing?
I think maybe they're. Just blow as much as you blow, man.
Like, I mean.
Well, because, like, you're introducing two very distinct characters. Carnage is the way that he is because of the person that the symbiote takes over.
Right.
And the same thing with Venom.
Yeah,
so.
But you did, from
you
what I hear, you did
characters.
That with these other fuckers.
I think what they're hoping is
well,
that.
Well, the other one, so they did the other, I
they
assume.
Did Riot.
They did Riot. Riot. So these are not as big names or as big of like personalities as Carnage.
They probably
is.
Just have to spend less time developing
right.
the characters.
And
so
I can agree with that,
the,
but yeah. I'm saying in
to me, it would
in
be like if you tried to make Spider-Man like a first Spider-Man and then you tried to develop his biggest, baddest characters right alongside him in the first movie.
Well, that's what they've always done.
And they've always been terrible, the first ones.
Well,
I don't know, man.
Except the new first one,
yeah,
I thought
was
all right
good.
With Lizard.
I thought it was good. Oh, not the new one, then.
That's the newer
the
one that has a
one.
Series.
Yeah.
You're talking about the something Garfield.
That they just didn't.
Andrew.
Spider-Man Andrew Garfield.
That they just didn't do a third one for some reason, even though the first two
I didn't like it.
Decent.
It looked. I thought it looked like garbage. I thought the CGI was terrible
decent.
In that fucking movie.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say I think they're hoping
things.
On the fanfare of Carnage reining in a second film.
I agree with you. All I'm saying that is in a world where shit like that matters the first time you swing, like it's I think you should have put Carnage in it.
I'm basing this on like what
I think they did that with Venom. Venom carries himself, and that's how they venomize everything right now.
Well, I'm basing this off of like how I do it, like Comic Cons. Like, I know the second I put anything Venom on the table, it's going to sell,
right?
Because there are no fair weather Venom fans. People fucking are just all in. Same as like Doctor Who. Like, I do put anything Doctor Who on the table,
Venom
it's going to move.
Do you think that Venom fans are actual Venom fans,
no.
Or they're just a fan of that symbol?
I think
Punisher fans,
it's
Punisher symbol fans just like the symbol. They just like wearing the shit.
I think it's a lot of the fact that like it's a weird looking demon guy that looks fucking awesome.
Doctor Who fans, on the other hand, generally fucking know everything about Doctor
Who. There are no Fairweather Who fans.
I would say it's probably about half and half. There's definitely Venom fans that are actual Venom fans that read the books.
I'm sure there are.
because you meet him and they talk to you about it, and I check out immediately because I have almost no interest in Spider-Man plot lines.
I'm not a giant. I love Carnage. I fucking love Carnage. I'm not a big Venom.
And
guy.
I
don't know why.
I think people
Carnage
that
is so narrow of a character. It's I am a serial killer.
For me, it's the look though. It's how he acts and shit. It's not necessarily the, and that's why maybe I'm one of the Venom fans. You know, it's one of those where I don't necessarily love. I'm not in love with the character. I like the way it looks. I like the way he acts in the cartoon was amazing. That cartoon storyline, that's probably one of the best cartoon series for me, in my opinion.
You mean like the 90s Spider-Man?
Yeah, it was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
And that storyline with Carnage in there, I thought was great.
Sure, that's way toned down from what Carnage actually is.
Probably. But I just like the look better than I like Venom.
Yeah. I mean, aesthetically, he's one of the cooler looking fucking Marvel villains, period.
And you can draw him like a billion different ways, yeah. And artists have, which is really cool. So
It's just weird to me to not put the main villain that everybody knows in any movie. You know what I mean? That's weird to me to start it, unless you're starting just an origin and that's your whole purpose.
And I think they know that they're making like three of them no matter what or something.
Probably,
like that.
Probably, because that's what Sony does.
I think that you are slightly overselling Carnage too. I don't think that everyone knows who Carnage is.
No, I agree with you, but I think that Carnage is Venom's main villain, in my opinion.
So I have
technically Spider-Man's Venom's villain.
Well, aside from Spider-Man, that's what I'm saying.
Venom sees Spider-Man as the asshole.
I'm not saying that Carnage, that everybody knows Carnage. I'm just saying that in a world where you have a chance to put one person and their main villain in the movie, it would have been Venom and Carnage.
And is Carnage
one of the skaters on the roller derby team's a big
Carnage.
She's always talking to me about Doctor Strange and stuff like that. And every practice for like the last 2 months, she's been like, "Have you watched Venom yet?" I'm like, "No." Zero spare time. I'll get to it.
I watched probably 20 minutes before I was like, "Oh fuck, I'm not paying attention. I don't have time right now."
Yeah. Got to paint some wands.
Yeah.
So I start calling it from now on.
Oh man.
Stop talking to me. I'm painting my wand.
I'm almost finished.
Oh,
Expelliarmus.
It is 8:53. So
all right, well,
7 minutes.
And he, break.
They haven't responded, so hopefully we're still on. I added him on Skype.
We'll take a quick break and come back. We'll talk about our pop culture classic for this week, V for Vendetta.
Yay.
Remember the 5th of November.
You're listening to... And the face.
What's up, guys? This is Epic Film Guy Nick here, and I just want to take a few moments to tell you about an excellent podcast that I personally listen to called Ice and the Face. All right, now, if you're a fan of dystopian and even nihilistic comedy, this is the show for you. Rick and Sarah take the most ridiculous news items in the world every single week, and they just tear these stories down, all while having a great, great laugh. They're usually joined by guests who jump right in on the fun, and it's just a great time. They just launched a Patreon over at patreon.com/iceintheface, so you can also support them. But if you're not listening to this show, what you need to do is go to their website at iceintheface.com, or jump over on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe to Ice in the Face. I promise you'll listen for 2 minutes and you will be hooked just like I am. So go ahead and give it a listen and back to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey, this is Jason Lyles, George from Rampage, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Pretty much all the time. Like,
I don't want to say that, but
I definitely fast forward through the music on this show.
Yeah, me
but
too.
And ads, man. He plays a lot of ads.
He does.
But it is not a bad show.
I think they're funny.
Yeah.
Like, when they're just talking, they're funny. But
yeah.
Frustrating. We're talking about John Still. There's TV. We're recording.
Oh, are we back?
Yeah, okay. We're back.
And we're back.
I don't know. I just texted him.
Oh, okay. So, that determines like what we're back to, though. If we're waiting for John and John's going to come on, we're doing the last segment.
Well, I just texted him, so.
When will then be now?
You want me to just call him? I'll just call him.
Just call him.
Fine with that. Yeah. If he's not there, then we'll do pop culture.
He just he texted me and he's like, "Hey, I'm leaving. We're leaving. What's that called? Pueblo." So he's, and I was like, "Well, I'll let you
know." What's he doing in Pueblo?
They go pick up their kids.
All right, so welcome back to the show. We're going to talk about our pop culture classic this month. Thank you, Jason Wells, for picking V for Vendetta. 2006, directed by James McTeague, starring Natalie Portman, Natalie Portman, Hugo Weaving, Stephen Fry, and John Hurt.
Pueblo.
Pueblo. Based on the Alan Moore comic book by the same title. The domino scene, where the dominoes fall over to make the V, took 200,000 dominoes and four pro domino assemblers 200 hours to put together.
All four of them, huh? You got them all four together?
Yeah.
From all over the world.
Oh, yeah, all four of the dominoes.
From the four corners of the globe, the four professional domino assemblers are here today.
So, after his experiences with From Hell and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Alan Moore basically said, I will take no money from any project that's based on my comic books anymore because he just found them so awful. So for this particular one, he rejected all the money from the movie and gave it to the artist of the comic book.
It turned out to be amazing.
Yeah, which he's all fuck. Yeah. And then Natalie Portman was actually really excited about the scene where she gets her head shaved because she had said she had always wanted to do that and never had the opportunity. So considering that she was basically an actress from the time she was 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
She just hadn't had a chance. I don't know. Thoughts? V for Vendetta? Fucking amazing movie.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing movie. Amazing comic.
I found something interesting out this weekend.
Everything about it is pretty good.
Tim has never read V for Vendetta.
Never read it.
I thought that was kind of odd. Have you ever read it?
No.
Seen the movie. Seen the movie half a million times.
But Tim, man, it's a little shocking.
Yeah, Juan's not very... That's not shocking.
It's not that shocking. Nah. I mean, it's a little shocking. You've read Watchmen, right?
No.
Yeah, it's just right, I didn't think you'd read a lot of like the.
Now it's not shocking.
Right? I just didn't think you.
I haven't read a lot of older stuff. Yeah, no.
Swamp Thing, Alan Moore Swamp Thing run.
No, I haven't.
Man, I should let you borrow.
Jesus Christ.
Those are really good.
Have we talked about this time where I don't have a lot of time in my life?
I know, but these are like a lot of these are like intro points to, for comic book fans,
right?
Like where they're like, I found this and. Alan Moore is, in my opinion, one of the best writers ever.
I was introduced to comics, so I wasn't like I didn't just find it.
Yeah.
Like John's like, hey, read these two things. I was like, oh, cool.
What were the two things?
It was Chew and It's Just Coming Back, and I just made a post about it.
Jungle Fantasy.
Big dude with a little dude, and they just beat people up. Fuck, he wears a
goon.
Goon, that's the one that was the other one, and that's coming back soon. So
those are two good suggestions.
Yeah.
So okay, so let's talk about the realm of comic books really quick before we talk about the movie.
Yes.
So you said something that I think is actually like really true, that a lot of Alan Moore's books are the entry point into like the modern style of comic book storytelling, especially Watchmen and V for Vendetta. And Swamp Thing, because they take like old character ideas, like the vigilante superhero, the superhero group, and then like the kind of monster of the week title, and they turn all of those things on their head. Like that's what Alan Moore was really good at, was taking effectively a Justice League in The Watchmen,
yeah,
and just completely flipping the script on what that is. So what books do you think are almost like required reading or like important entry points to understand where Alan Moore is coming from when he writes a book like V for Vendetta or Watchmen or Swamp Thing?
You mean like what, where he...
Yeah, like, so for me, like V for Vendetta is the Punisher.
Yeah, yeah.
But not idealized. Does that kind of make sense?
For sure.
Or like the Watchmen is the Avengers or the Justice League, just not idealized. Or Swamp Thing is taking Bernie Wrightson and Lynn Wein's idea and just completely flipping.
Everything he makes is like what a real person, a real heroic person probably would be. It's like, yeah, they're heroic. Yeah, there's something heroic about them, but they also have that human element to them that's inevitably going to be there.
Right.
Like, so, you're never really going to get a Batman.
So what I'm asking is, what do you think the important entry points are to understand how comics were written in the past versus how Alan Moore flips a script?
Oh, I mean, like, one, you could just read Swamp Thing up until he takes it over.
Right.
And see this, like, just not good thing, but this good premise that's out there, if that makes sense, where it's just like, I could see why people liked Swamp Thing before that. And then for him to take that and go like, well, this character has so much more depth to it than just being a swamp monster. Like, does that can actually be a character that can drive his own kind of, I don't know how to say it, his own kind of universe. Even though he exists in the same universe as other comic book characters,
right.
He doesn't almost.
Even in the universe of those comic books, though, he seems very different. Like, even when I'm reading Hellblazer, you know, any like kind of Constantine thing.
Or something, or like,
he was a scientist before he was.
He was, but doesn't he claim, like, magical powers to some extent?
Well, they're not really magical powers. He just has control over all living vegetation.
No, no, no. Alan Moore himself.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were talking about Swamp Thing, too.
Alan Moore's a fucking wizard.
Yeah.
There's, like, these amazingly epic stories about his wizard battles between him and Grant Morrison. Like, yeah. I highly recommend there's an article out there called The Wizard Battle Between Alan Moore and Grant Morrison. Like, if you just look that up on Google, you'll find articles.
I don't know why the two of them haven't sold that as a story.
They hate each other?
They hate each other. They don't want anything to do with each other.
Yeah, they're not fans. Which is weird, because they both are amazing.
Well, Grant Morrison considers himself a chaos magician, and Alan Moore considers himself the standard bearer of thelemic magic, and as a consequence, they're at loggerheads because they believe that magic works in two entirely different ways.
So they're both clinically insane.
Yeah. There is this amazing video out there, though, where Alan Moore is sitting at a table doing an interview. I think I've talked about this on the show. And this lady's like, so, you know, talk to me about magic. Like, really? You do magic?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I can do some magic right now.
Yeah.
She's like, well, okay, prove it. Do some magic. And he just, like, stares at her really hard. And she's all, I'm waiting for it. He's all, yeah, I'm working up to it. Give me a second. He keeps staring at her really hard. And she's like, really? I mean, this is what you're going to do? Just give me... And then her head explodes.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything goes chaotic. Like, the cameraman's, like, screaming, trying to run away. And Alan Moore's just in frame, like... And then the video cuts off. Like, it's hilarious.
So, I'm drawing a blank on his comic book inspirations, but he, like, seems, like, very Lovecrafty and, like...
Well, yeah,
inspired.
Like in Providence.
Well, yeah, I mean, Providence is an obvious example of that.
And stuff like that. He's definitely drawing really heavily on that.
It seems like all his work draws heavily on that, in my opinion. But yeah.
So which house would he be in at Hogwarts?
Oh, he's for sure a Slytherin.
Yeah. He's a Slytherin, or he's like that fucked up Hufflepuff who just nobody knows how he got in there. He's like the goth Hufflepuff who's just fucking with people.
He gets to choose, bro. He has input in where he goes.
Yeah, the Sorting Hat takes into consideration her wants and desires.
They're like, oh, cookies, magic.
So let's go to...
Back to V for Vendetta.
I was not a fan of the... I like the movie. Let's get that out of the way before that.
Now here it comes. We know where this goes.
The over-the-top, like, bloody parts, the blood looks completely fake to me. Like, it's just weird.
This is an older movie.
I know. Like. I know. It's probably, I think it came out in 2005, you said? 2006. So, okay, 9 years. No, I'm sorry. 12 years old.
And I think it's...
It just looks weird. The end...
Twice as old as your child.
The end scene where, like, there's like 1,000 bullets, but nobody chooses to shoot him in the face is very weird to me, too.
Like, they might have.
Yeah.
He's a superhero.
I don't know, though, man. I know he's like been experimented on and he's got this, you know, superhuman strength and blah blah blah. It's just, I don't know, it's just weird to me. Like, he dies from the bullets. I don't know, it's just weird to me.
He dies from accumulation of bullets.
Right.
Yeah, it's like,
but you can see the mask, no bullet.
That's how badass he is. He dodged
No bullets have penetrated the mask.
It's just weird to me. Well, it's always, so it's blocks, always weird to
he
me.
He also blocks bullets with knives. That doesn't seem weird to you?
Well, the bullet... Yeah, he doesn't really die from being shot. He dies.
No, it's weird to me
from
that,
like, broken ribs, basically, of being shot.
It's weird to me that nobody thought to shoot him in the face. That's the weird part.
Stark Juan.
Aren't you Marvin in the face?
As a cop, aren't you trained to shoot for center mass so you don't miss?
Yeah, but you're just trying to kill somebody. I mean,
that's the thing, is they're trained to shoot center mass because if you aim for the head, you miss most of the time.
I mean, if there's 20 people around me and we're shooting at the same target, I feel like one or two of those people are going to shoot you in the face.
Yeah.
Juan's not wrong because he's just standing still for that whole thing.
Yeah, he's just standing, literally just standing there.
When it comes to, so when you were talking about the blood and stuff, like when it comes to the blood, I think that's like an intentional stylistic.
And it probably is.
I just recently watched Suspiria, which is like this Italian horror movie.
Oh, that new one looks good.
The new one looks amazing. But when people die, the blood that comes out of them is clearly fucking red paint.
Right.
Like, I mean, bright red paint. And I think in V for Vendetta, that's kind of what they're going for, is that over the top. Yeah. You know, for lack of
he'll do something and then it looks like a whole bag of blood just shot out of
well,
him.
Well, for lack of a better term, it's very comic book.
Right.
Like, that's kind of
makes
the
sense.
Idea is to make it look
it was just goofy.
And crazy. And
I like the movie, though. I like the you know, the themes of the movie, oppression and the government and all that shit, but
He loves oppression
and the government and shit like that. So it was a good movie. I enjoyed the movie.
It's a phenomenal
I've never
movie.
Read the book, so
it's
very relevant.
It's definitely worth reading. And the movie itself, you're right, is super relevant. Like, I made my kids watch it, you know, in the current political climate, understanding like how like oppression and like repression of freedom of speech can like really affect a society is super, super important, you know. And it's weird that a movie made, like you said, 12 years ago can be so, like, culturally relevant today. Like, it's
just those lies. It's just the lie. It's the government lying to you, and you're just the most susceptible people believing everything.
Right.
You know, they don't...
Well, it's like, it's the same as, like, 1984, where they've created, like, their own new language where they can say, this thing that happened didn't happen, and this thing that didn't happen did happen. And they have so much control over media and communication and like how people talk to each other that they can completely fucker up society by saying this is how things really are when things are not that way.
Yeah,
like
Donald Trump.
He just said
something yesterday in California about how people were rioting on the streets to not be a sanctuary city. And I'm sure that there are people who don't want to be a sanctuary cities or have them. Riots. But there were no riots. People on the internet were going, fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. and at this point, that's like a daily occurrence.
Right.
He's not the only one. Like, remember when Hillary
He's
was
not the only one.
She was under
He's
fire.
Not the only one.
Yeah, under fire in Bosnia.
Like, and then fucking Sinbad was like, I was there. We were not under fire. Like, fucking Sinbad's calling you out.
He's all, this is my moment to get back into the wizard movies.
Yeah.
He's not the only one. He just happens to be the biggest, the highest person in power.
Yeah. That's like what's shocking. It's like,
oh, shit.
That's the president and then another person who's running for president.
Yeah.
They'll just go on TV and be like, here's some just straight made up shit. Oh, we have the internet today?
Yeah.
Like,
and people believe it. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, these motherfuckers acting like the internet does not exist.
It's because he doesn't care. It's because he knows whatever it's because they know whatever they say is going to be believed by their staunchest fucking voters.
It's not even like their staunchest people. They know that they can say whatever. He's just excited.
I know.
They know that they can say whatever. And enough people, it doesn't even have to be their people, enough people will buy into the bullshit that they can affect, like, real world change. And that's exactly what V for Vendetta is. It's enough people have bought into the bullshit that they have taken complete control.
And it's funny because V does the same shit. You know, he's obviously being honest from where he's coming from, but he spreads the message the same. You know what I mean? You know, through what he believes and through his masks there at the, you know, towards the end and shit. Like, he's doing the same thing, just in opposite. It's weird. Yeah.
It's just the opposite team. Like, he literally creates another culture
right.
that believes his bullshit right. instead of their bullshit. And that's really what it is. It's this circular story that just keeps going. And no matter which political team is in charge, when the other political team beats that team, it's just a different brand of very similar bullshit. So
yeah, it makes me laugh. I was watching CNN the other day, and they're talking about that Honduran shit. And one of the reporters is like, "Yeah, this is a setup, and blah blah blah." And they're blaming it on Democrats for setting it up and shit. And I think it was Don Lemon, Lemon. Yeah. He's like, "You know, this happens every year, right? Like, it's not." It's just a normal thing that happens every year. It's just so weird to me. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
But I feel like people are quick to forget, like, literally anything that's happened.
Oh, I know. The fact that we elect a Democrat, we don't like them, and then we elect a Republican, and we don't like them, and then we elect a Democrat, and we don't like them. That shit. You got 8 years to impress us, buddy. Too bad you have an impossible job. We're not going to like it no matter what the fuck you do. But... I don't think like the V story, where the way he spreads his message is very propaganda-ish, and the same way the government is spreading their message by forcing it down your throat, whether you like it or not. But I don't think it's the same.
God-related issues that Juan's having right now, just keep flopping down on mic cords and moving things around. Like,
in V, the government's like controlling you, and
right.
And the message he's bringing is the opposite of that.
No, I'm not saying that his message is bad. I'm just saying that it's very similar the way that people spread messages, whether they're good or bad. It's very
propaganda's
similar.
Propaganda's there on both sides, right? But I just didn't think they're the same thing.
No, I don't think that V is spreading for torture and fucking murder. So. I mean, he's murdering people, but...
Yeah, he fucking totally
he
does, murders
he, No, he is, but I don't think he wants other people to murder people. You know that? I don't know.
He kills people who's earned it.
Yeah. Well,
he's deciding it, like, outside of, like, a court system whatsoever.
Yeah, but he's also not saying, like, that you, the people, have to 100% agree or you get murdered, too.
But you don't know that.
Like, yeah, 'cause he doesn't do that to anybody.
But give it, like, 15 years and he might be...
But he's murdering people who he thinks have wronged him specifically, right?
I'm listening to you talk and I'm wondering if I
took the same message for it. No, so.
And so disassembling the government that has come... to be as a part of what they did to him.
It's just interesting because I think like part of the story that
I always felt like he knew he was going to die in the end.
But I think part of the story that Alan Moore wants to tell is that revolutionaries eventually become the thing that they hate. Like, and
right.
Yeah, you
can.
That's
part of the story.
Well, I mean, he says he's going to die in the end.
Yeah, like it's just... It
before the bullets start shooting, he says they're both going to die tonight.
Goodness. Hi. Okay.
Right in the face. Right in the face.
I like when we watch levity. That's fun. But I like when we watch these kinds of movies because it's different. It's out of the realm of what we normally speak about. So.
So now I'm having the
dog gives zero shits about this podcast going on.
What you guys doing? Sounds like you're talking. I can't hear you. I'm dead. So.
Vibrations.
What do you think about this movie makes it such a classic? Like people genuinely love this movie. Like
like it at all. I've met several people who just hate this movie.
Oh, those people are stupid.
I would say the revolutionary aspect, the whole fight the power is a pretty powerful theme.
I think it's a big part of what makes Star Wars and Braveheart and Fight Club great. Like, is that the powers that be oppress us.
Those three movies have never been mentioned together.
I mean,
Braveheart, Star Wars.
They're all the exact same plot.
I don't even remember the other movie you said.
Pretty much.
Fight Club.
Yeah, Fight Club is the one that threw me. I'm not saying there aren't similar premises to those movies. It's just like, my brain would have never put those together.
Stoner.
What about you? What do you think makes
it? It's a movie I haven't seen in forever, so I don't know that I would consider it a classic. But it's what he's saying. It's the themes. It's that it's not just a violent movie. Like Deadpool is similar in that he's trying to kill people and shit, and like I don't know. They're kind of the same. The themes are different. The theme is what makes this movie different.
You hit it on right here. It's nothing to do with V for Vendetta. I really didn't like Deadpool 2.
Wow, that's weird.
Not a fan.
Let's pause for a second. Help my wife.
Okay. My wife.
Let's do it. So
we're recording.
Okay, so cut that out, obviously.
Dildos.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh. Dildos!
There was a dildo in that movie. He rammed it in the guy's ass.
Not like the one in Mandy, though.
I don't remember that at all.
Wait, what?
There's a dude that has like a sword dick in Mandy. It's crazy.
Wow, that sounds painful.
Dude, that movie is nuts. Anyway, we're not going to get back to that. So, did you talk about why it's a pop culture classic? Or?
Huh? Oh, my last thing for V was the reason why I think it's maintained the test of time is the marketability of the mask.
This is true.
The Guy Fawkes mask is, like, you can fucking get them everywhere. $10, I'll get one right now down the street at the Spirit of Halloween for sure.
So one of the things that they talked about in some of the trivia for the movie is in the comic book, there's subtle facial changes to, like, indicate the emotions behind the character in the mask. You know, mm-hmm. they might have a little tiny bit of a smirk or a frown or whatever.
Yeah.
And when they were making the movie, they thought about making, like, alternative versions of the mask to do that same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, they decided against it, largely because of the marketability of this is what it looks right. like.
It's and a powerful symbol.
It is. Powerful enough that Anonymous still uses it to this day when producing videos when they talk about their crazy shenanigans.
We have nothing bad to say about Anonymous.
No, because
I don't need them to shut down the podcast.
Right? Anonymous.
Anonymous.
You guys are goddamn here.
We're doing the Lord's work.
It'd be sweet if, like, one of their videos guys couldn't pronounce anything correctly. We are Anonymous.
Yeah. The way of the president.
Yeah.
Anonymous.
Fucking idiot.
Wow.
Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Anonymous.
We are Anonymous.
So.
We are watching.
Round the table. One.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
A lot of death.
Thumbs up for sure.
Probably.
Thumbs up your butt.
Thumbs up my butt.
All the thumbs up.
All of the thumbs up in booty
all the
holes.
Thumbs up
in booty holes.
In booty holes.
So good.
So did you like the comic or the movie more?
I like the movie a little bit more.
I agree, actually.
The movie is a little bit more.
I haven't read the comic.
Tied together.
Like, they're not that different.
It basically.
Evie's a little different.
It's a smoother, like, it's a smoother story. Like, I think the comic book gets a little rambly at times, and that's largely just Alan Moore's desire to just fucking write endlessly. So.
He just likes to put, like, endless content into things.
Correct.
Like, which I enjoy.
From Hell is a great comic book, but it...
From Hell has endless content, and then there's a book about all the endless content that he did
yeah.
that comes with it if you buy the special edition.
There's literally a companion book that goes with it explaining all the stuff that he's talking about, and it's just as big.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Nice.
But I like that about his writing personally.
A companion book to that's a giant book.
That's what I like yeah. about Providence, because it's a super deep dig into, like, the yeah. world of H.P. Lovecraft, the, like, northeastern, like, authors at that time, and, like, it's really cool. I love
Providence. I haven't read all of it, but the books, the comics I have read are good.
It is crazy, though.
Yeah.
Definitely has underage sex in it, which is really weird.
He likes to do that a lot. Like, even in the
two
comic
underage
book,
people having sex, or like somebody having sex with an underage person?
Someone having sex with an underage person
yeah.
that's possessed by a demon thing. So it, like, it's just a lot of Alan Moore's work is incredibly morally ambiguous, and like yeah. this Providence pushes that to its very limits.
Like in the comic, Evie's a like 15-year-old streetwalker.
Yeah.
She's not the same character at all in the movie.
A zombie?
In the comics. Streetwalker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let me.
Hooer.
Let's use one word. Hooer.
Hooer. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm not that Mexican.
She,
all right, fucker.
She fillets for the Euros.
Were they pounds?
Yeah.
The British pound.
Takes a pound for pounds.
Oh, takes a pounding for the pounds. Wow.
Let me take a pounding for that load.
So
one takes both loads.
Some of the actors in it.
There's fucking great casting, by the
Natalie
way.
Natalie Portman, like a great casting yeah. and has been like an actress since she was like 12.
Leon the Professional, I think.
Yeah.
Is that her first role?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which is also a very morally
ambiguous
movie.
Yeah.
That movie's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, but
ooh, that should be a pop culture classic someday.
It's a really good movie. Have you ever seen that, The Professional?
I don't think he
I
has.
I don't think so.
Oh, you would... I think you'd really like it.
It's good, dude.
It's about this guy that's an assassin, and Natalie Portman's character is just this little girl that he has, like, in tow. Like, it's really... It's
there's,
a
like,
great,
a
like sexual girl?
Romantic relationship there.
She's in love with him, but she's a little girl. So he's not in love with her that
right,
way.
Right.
Really...
I think he kind of is in the movie. I think he pushes it aside in the movie, but his character kind of is.
He does push it aside, doesn't he?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I haven't seen the movie, so I can get away with it.
Stephen Fry, like, great British comedian.
Yeah.
A really good turn in this.
I don't think there's a bad casting choice in this movie.
John Hurt is crazy good as, like, the dictator guy.
I think he's good in everything.
Well, truth. Like, that's just a great actor.
Even in his grave.
Wow.
Is he dead?
Yeah, he died.
Oh, shit. Another guy we can't interview. Until the seance episode.
He hasn't died that long.
Dude,
he's
yeah. I feel like it'd be a lot of fun.
He hasn't been dead for
until
very
we're
long, though.
Destroyed by demonic entities.
Young freeze right now.
One of us will make it out. One of us has to tell the story.
It'll be one.
Right. I don't know. I got the Santeria on my side.
Santeria.
Buddy, if we do a seance and there's demons, you know how many cows are going to come after you?
It's going to be brutal.
It's going to be a fucking stampede.
You're not fucking making it out alive.
What do cowgirls say? Do they go, boo?
They probably just talk in regular English.
Yeah.
They're all,
we will eat your soul!
Yeah. That's what you get for cutting my butthole out.
I see them at night when I'm dreaming on the river Styx.
I'm the bunghole job now.
I'm the bunghole cutter now. He's a good job. You're going to like that job.
That's some shit that was off the mic.
It's a good job. You're going to like it.
Oh, man.
I just remember that scene with fucking Brad Pitt and Troy where he's talking about all the dead people watching him from the river Styx. It's all the cow eyes.
just all these ethereal, like, ghost phantom cows.
Yeah. Saying, welcome, brother.
Troy is a totally different movie.
Yeah.
I think lots of things are different when they're cow-based. That's what we should do with our free time. Just rewrite things with cows.
13
oh,
Ghosts.
Shit.
Yeah.
Cows.
Great movie.
13
I really liked
the
that movie.
The old one or the new one?
The old one.
Did not expect you to say
yeah,
great movie, because the new one is hot garbage.
It's a giant smelly dump on the old one.
I didn't know there was an old one at first. I saw the new one. I thought it was the only one when I first watched it.
You're like,
and I was
what
like, this movie,
happening?
Because everybody had always praised it. And then I just thought this new movie was it.
Right.
And then I was like, this movie sucks the cock. Like, why does everybody love it?
Everybody loves this fucker. That's funny.
It's awesome. So, V for Vendetta, it's like 12 years old, right?
Yeah.
How long do you think it is before somebody tries to remake this?
I hope never.
I'm sure Netflix has already got a script on the table.
I don't think this is one of those movies, honestly.
You don't
think so? Nah. I don't think so.
Interesting.
I could see different styles being attempted.
I could see a series.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like,
I could see like a British, like a BBC series.
Yeah, like there's no way the BBC
like
or Netflix doesn't have something
one,
on the table already.
The dude's trying to vendetta with like computers and hacking and shit. Like
yeah.
That's the
Mr.
kind
Robot?
Of shit. Yeah, they. See,
oh, that's true.
There you go.
That's
yeah,
exactly
basically
it is.
Mr. Robot.
Pop culture references. You can't get them nowhere else. Except for everywhere else.
Like literally everywhere else.
Because it's in your face.
Oh no, I love this movie.
It's good. It's a good movie. I haven't seen that movie in for fucking ever.
Yeah, Jason, you suck.
I don't remember
bitch.
Liking it the first time I watched it, so it was a good turn for me.
So next episode, we have another pick coming up from Jason.
Episode 100.
Which we don't... We don't even
100.
Know
shit.
100. Momentum.
Is it?
Oh, no shit.
Yes.
You just went dark side, sir.
Yes. I love Memento.
I love Memento in that way that I don't like to watch it ever. Like, it's not good for you.
My wife hates this movie. So my wife doesn't like when... We'll talk about Memento for just a second.
Ass to ass.
Mel doesn't...
I know, it's a different movie, but it always makes me think that.
So Mel likes linear plot lines. So when a
okay, so not this movie at all.
Place, it like it frustrates her and she just doesn't enjoy the experience.
Oh shit, like that time travel movie we watched not too long ago.
Yeah, like Primer. She wasn't a huge fan of Primer.
Ooh, Primer's so good though.
She hates Memento because of how it reworks itself like every few minutes. Like, oh, I can't wait to watch this movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
This movie, you're either going to fucking love the shit out of, or you're going to sit down and be like, what?
I like thrillers.
You're actually
like
going to have to watch it and pay the fuck attention, though. It's not like it's not like a just chill out with it in the background.
Right, no, right.
It's not Three Amigos.
Three Amigos. Mementos?
Yeah, that works. All right, so... Next up, Memento. Jason, thank you very much
for episode 100.
But if you're not at episode 100, put a hex on you.
He will be.
I'll put a hex on you.
Do we have the okay for location?
I mean, yes, but no. Yes, but no.
So can we?
We're just gonna do it at.
So we.
Michael Kirk's?
Sounds like this.
Michael Kirk, you better fucking be there.
So we were going to do it at John's, the new space, because he's got a lot of space there now, and so it makes things way easier. But he's got his...
business.
He
doesn't want us to ruin the
comments. He's got a grand reopening. It's the anniversary. He's doing another thing the day before. And so he's like, hey, what if you guys came on Saturday? But I can't – I was going to talk to you about that today. I can't do Saturday, I don't think, because I've taken so much fucking time off this year.
We just need to know the day so I can pause the cow murdering.
It would be the 17th,
in advance.
So the plan is that we're going to have it at Hall of Justice.
Yeah.
That's the hope.
The new space.
Correct.
It's going to be really different.
We'll post an event about it.
Yeah, I'll definitely once we get that nailed down, cuz that's one that I want to promote a lot. Yeah. So
you need to be at the 100th episode.
It'll be the 17th and 18th. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'll be just
with
coming
special
off
guests.
Of work on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just be coming off of my trip to Cuba, and I will have taken probably 20 days off this
year.
One
might not
it's
be
a fucking
there.
One might be in a Cuban jail.
Yeah.
Fun trivia. Cuba was voted like the safest fucking country in the world.
Yeah, because they'll shoot you if you get out of hand.
No, that's not true. Cuba's actually pretty
safe. Very safe.
They'll beat you with an inch of your life.
I'll let you know when we're there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Then you
text message me what Cuba's like.
Oh, I will.
Cuban deli crisis?
With special guest William Shatner.
Cuban deli crisis?
Yeah, throwback.
Oh, yeah.
Throwback.
That's a deep cut, too.
Throwback.
That's a John joke.
I mean, we're coming up on the 100th episode. We got to start looking for them deep cuts.
Talk to Brandon a little bit about the new music.
Nice, okay.
So we'll get that.
Yeah, I mean, it's either going to be the 17th or the 18th of November. We have to figure out where and how and all that shit. I just don't think I don't think John wants to do a giant event and then like another big event the next day.
Hey, John, how about you do a little sacrificing for us, bro? How about that?
I just don't know if I can get it.
We drive all the way to you. How about you do this for us? We'll pull you off or something.
So, I don't know.
Tim will pull you off.
I'm not above it.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. All right.
Well, we're going to take a quick break with the old man segment and the wrap up of the episode. And probably right now you're going to listen to our interview with Ryan North, who is the writer of How to Invent Everything, which is basically a book about if you were a time traveler and you got stuck in the past. These are all the things that need to know to rebuild society. And it's like really pretty cool. And he actually sounds like himself. So I hate getting made fun of how I laugh.
You did it again today. The problem is it's not how you laugh.
It's
you
not.
Don't laugh like that in real life.
You don't. You don't. It's only during interviews you have this like really gay chuckle.
Want to laugh so loud, it's like distracting in the interview, and I get really nervous about.
Honestly, I think you because we get a lot of people who are like, man, this was a really like different, fun interview. It's because of you're very outward when you're doing interviews.
Because I get really nervous about that I don't want to sound like a crazy person like in the interview.
Yeah,
so
you just keep doing what.
So quietly it's chuckling funny. Isn't more creepy.
That's the answer.
Greetings from Tromaville. I'm Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment and creator of The Toxic Avenger. You know, folks, when the Troma team and I are not making those great movies like Tromeo and Juliet and Terra Firma and Return to Nukem High, a.k.a. Volume 2, the Troma team and I like to kick back and inhale the most educational and entertaining podcast in the world, Poop Culture.
Hello, I'm Toxie. Toxie, I love Poop Culture. Poop Culture is the best. I like Poop Culture. In fact, I even look like some poop right now. If you look closely, kind of a poop.
But I'm 70 years old and I want to blow my fucking brains out. So, you know, honestly, I don't even know why I care.
One, two, three, four. Poop Culture, yeah,
poop. This is Russell Nolte with Wannabe Press, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. On the line, we have Ryan North. You may know him as a writer on Adventure Time, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, and Jughead. But today we're going to talk to him about his new book. That's called How to Invent Everything. How are you doing today, Ryan?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Pleasure to talk to you. I'm pretty interested in this book. So the premise of the book is that if you go back in time and you get stuck in the timeline because the machine is a little wonky, you might have to reinvent society. And so this book is the nonfiction guide on how to invent all the things that you'll need to survive in a modern world. The book itself, I noticed, is kind of billed as nonfiction. And I was
it's my nonfiction book about time travel. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty awesome. What I was kind of curious about is everything in the book actually nonfiction and usable aside from the time travel stuff?
For sure.
Unless you're sitting on something that maybe we should all know about.
No, that was one of the things my publisher was worried about, because it's a weird sort of book where we have this nonfiction core and this fictional candy coating kind of thing, where the premise is it's a time travel repair guide from the future that I, Ryan, found embedded in solid rock and I just transcribed. And that's fictional. I wrote it myself. But the time travel stuff is sort of the fiction that lets the nonfiction stuff be really interesting, give you a reason for reading it, and makes it a lot more fun. And they were worried that, you know, it would be confusing, that would people file this under nonfiction, would they not realize, or file this under fiction, would they not realize that the nonfiction stuff is real? But it's all real. The stuff about reinventing civilization from scratch is a honest, sincere effort to include everything you need to do that, which is the fun of the book, right? Is I wanted a book that, yeah, it'll be fun to read and funny to read and it'll teach you a lot, but I want it to also be a, if you were in this scenario, if you were stranded in the past with only this book, I want it to be like a real book that could actually let you reinvent civilization from scratch. That was the fun of writing it, is trying to figure out what you need in this scenario.
So what are some of the things that you felt really needed to be included in the book to truly recreate society? Like, what are some of the things where you're like, if that's not in there and they go back too far, we're definitely screwed.
Oh, there's tons. There's so many. The neat thing about it was figuring out, like, what's the stuff that we could have invented earlier ahead of schedule? So, I mean, the basic stuff you need that I love as an invention because you already know how it works basically in your head is spoken language and written language so you can communicate. Spoken language lets you communicate, and written language lets you have those ideas survive the death of people, which is great. And these are both – we tend not to think of language as a technology. We kind of think of it something that we got for free. And we just – you know, none of us remember trying to learn our first language. But it's something that humans invented, especially written language. Like, we invented that and we can lose it. It's technology you need. So you have the two forms of language. Then you have calorie surplus, which is basically farming, producing more calories than you need. So you have extra food, and this lets – people do what we do. Like, we go to the grocery store and buy the food we need. Don't have to worry about farming it. When you're not worrying where your next meal is coming from, you can worry about more interesting things like, why do the stars seem to move? Like, where does gravity come from? And then the one on top of two things remaining are non-sucky numbers, so a number system that makes sense, which took us a long time to figure out. We spent a long time with Roman numerals and other numeral systems that get in your way and prevent you from thinking mathematically. And the last one, of course, is scientific method. So that's really just an engine that produces knowledge in a way that is testable and repeatable. And we didn't have this for a really long time. And that led us to, you know, crazy things like the four humors theory of disease, where disease is caused by having too much yellow bile in your system, which, you know, was a step up from disease is caused by making the gods angry at you. But medicine has advanced more in the couple centuries since we discovered the germ theory or invented the germ theory than it has in all the thousands of years beforehand. So just having the basics of science early on would have really saved us some time and lives.
It's really interesting. I remember when I was in I must have been in like high school or something like that. I had read a story about like this small culture in Africa or like you know, Polynesia or something to that effect, where they were very divorced from like the rest of the world and things, you know, things that were happening in the rest of the world. And so their counting theory was literally 1, 2, 3 and many, like anything past the number 3 was many. It's hard to fathom what life would be like without numbers. So to have a instruction manual on developing numbers would probably be really good. So,
well, it's interesting along those lines. We tend to divide the spectrum into different colors, right? We have red, green, blue, yellow, orange, you know, things like that. But those are just arbitrary parts of the color spectrum, and you can divide it in different ways. Some people divide it more. If you're an interior decorator, you can talk about all these shades of red that we wouldn't be able to distinguish, right? Like, I could show you two separate shades of red, and you'd be like, those are both called red. Why are you showing me these things? They're practically identical. But interior decorator would be like, oh, that's a coquelicot, and that is mauve or something. And it's this idea of when you have the words for it, you can start seeing differences that you wouldn't otherwise see. I find really fascinating.
So when you're preparing to research this book and you're thinking to yourself, okay, what would we actually need to rebuild society from scratch? Like, what was kind of the research process like going all the way back to written language, spoken language, numbers, like, you know, going back to those very, very like basic concepts? What was the research project process like?
It was a lot of reading, tons of reading. Actually, I kept thinking, you'll know this. This is sort of an obscure reference, but you'll know it. Where, you know, like Batman Year One, where Bruce Wayne is out in his yard and he's like karate kicking trees in half, and he's saying, "I have the means, I have the methods, but I'm not ready yet. Something's missing," and all that's missing is him dressing up like a bat to fight criminals. He's got everything. He's like literally chopping trees in half with his feet. And I felt like that when I was doing all this research. I'm like, I still don't know how to write this book. Like, I'm just reading, reading, reading. And I don't know how to write it yet. And what finally got me through it was basically locking myself in a room for a week and starting to make a list of like, here's everything I would want in a civilization. And then I make another list saying, well, here's what else I might need in a different type of civilization. And just sort of building this up until I found elements that were common to a lot of them, and sort of making peace with the fact that anything you put in a list for civilization is going to be inherently political in your opinion, right? Like, I'm in favor of building a technological civilization because I think that is what allows human brains to live the longest and reach their full potential. And I think any civilization, the major resource you have is human brains because they come up with new ideas. So I sort of made that choice and ran with it. But there's different ways to build a civilization for sure. And you kind of just have to make the call and be like, this is interesting. This is interesting. Let's put this in. One of the things I added later on in the book, because I have all this stuff, but like, here's how a kiln works. And here's how, you know, all this sort of what we think is heavy technology, stuff you'd need to understand. And I ended up putting a chapter on birth control, because I think, you know, if you're building civilization, you want to have control over your reproductive systems. And we haven't for a long time. One of the coolest things with that was the ancient Romans had this plant called Xiphilium that only grew off this one coast. And this plant worked as this like perfect birth control. If you ate the leaves of this plant, you wouldn't get pregnant and no other side effects. And they're like, this is great. This is what we want. This is what humans wanted for a long time. But the Romans never figured out how to cultivate it outside the one coast, and so they ate it to extinction. It's gone. So for us, it sucks. But if you're a time traveler, you go back before 200 BCE, you can find this plant. You're good to go. So that's one of the things where, like, the fictional premise of time travel made the book more interesting and more fun to play with.
So that, you know, that particular story, like it definitely plays into the, well, if you are stuck in time before this time, you're able to reinvent the world in this way. So were there other things where you're like, this is a very time dependent thing. You're only going to be able to reinvent the world in this way if you go back to X date. Were there other like little stories like that?
That was probably the only one where there was a deadline where you had to go before that date because we ruined it. which is, I guess, good. There were a lot of situations in which you could have invented stuff at basically any point in history, and we took a really long time to get to it. There's so many examples of that. One of my favorites is the stethoscope, which, you know, revolutionized medicine, taught us that the noises that organs make, especially in the lungs or circulatory system, can be diagnostic, and that disease is not caused by just the body malfunctioning, but different parts in the body have different purposes and they can fail in different ways. And you can learn about that by listening to the body. All this comes from the stethoscope. And the first stethoscope invented in the 1800s, the reason it gets invented is because you have this male heterosexual doctor who has a busty female patient. And he's like, oh, I'd like to listen to her heart. But to do that, I have to put my head to her chest. And that's far too erotic an experience for me. And so he rolls up a tube of paper to leave some room for Jesus and listens through that tube and discovers by accident that this amplifies and isolates the sound he's trying to hear. And so we could have invented that at any point in history whenever we had paper, which is back in 200 BCE. So it's this huge range of time where he could have this technology and didn't. And it's also one of the few instances I could find in which someone being too horny to do their job properly actually led to legitimate scientific progress.
That's amazing. Definitely being too horny to do your job tends to be more of a hindrance than a help, I've noticed. So,
yeah, it worked in this case for him at least.
So are there any like ideas that you're like, you know what, society just doesn't need this, and so I'm leaving it out of the book?
There were. I was going to have initially a chapter on weapons saying, you know, here's how to build a simple trebuchet and stuff like that. And I realized partway through that I was kind of writing a really optimistic book, because most survival guides, they take place after a fictional apocalypse where you say, you know, society is ruined. Here's how you survive, usually by having the most guns. And they're very pessimistic. Things are going to go wrong and you're going to need to survive. But the premise of this book, almost by accident, is very optimistic, right? Because you're in the past. That means now's your chance to fix things. Like, you can do it better. And I started working on this chapter on weapons. I was like, why is this chapter such a downer for me? Like, why am I hating doing this? And I realized, because it's building in – you're building a utopian civilization. You can do whatever you want with this new civilization. And saying, no, you're going to need to start stabbing some people felt very sort of counter to the premise. So I took that chapter out. And honestly, if you're trapped in the past of my book, you can still make weapons. There's a whole appendix on all these chemicals you can make, and a lot of them are extremely explosive. Like, if you want to blow someone up in the past, you can do it. I believe in you.
I watched a bunch of Monty Python last night, so I'm just envisioning explosions and people going, yay! Like, so when you were, you know, when you were creating this book, was there always the intention of having like a, like an illustrative element to it, or did you originally just set out to like write a book?
I always wanted pictures. I come from comics. I love illustrated words, and I feel like they always make a book better. They make the book more fun to read. They make the book easier to understand. And also it's a chance to commission illustrations from someone I like. And I know tons of amazing artists. I'd love to have them draw stuff for me. So Lucy Bellwood graciously agreed to draw these illustrations. It was fun. When we started out, I thought, you know, I've written this book. I think it's clearly amazing. I'll just give it to Lucy and she'll have everything she needs to illustrate it. And the great way to find out you don't know how something works is to try to explain it to someone else. There were some parts of the book where she was like, hey, how does this work? You said just drop. I'm not quite sure how this piece works. And I would say, oh, let me look that up for you. There's always more research to do, right? And so it helped a lot to make the book a complete self-contained text, was to have Lucy, who didn't know a lot of this stuff, to be like, how does this work? And I would have to say, I'll put that into the book so that everyone who reads it knows.
So when she's doing the research and you're doing the research to create these illustrations for like this, you know, pretty broad scoped book, were there ever moments where she's like, that this thing is like really challenging to draw, like this idea or like this thing, like why in the world are you making me draw this? This is a lot.
No, she was great. She was down for everything. I sort of, because Lucy's great and she also loves boats. And so I kind of, when I pitched it to her, I said, you know, I need 100 illustrations for this book, but there's going to be two with boats in them. I know you love drawing boats. And so that's how I suckered her into the project. But she was down for everything and was really good with her visions and came up with this art style for the book that's almost kind of IKEA-esque. It's very clean line, not like her usual style at all, but it fits really well for this sort of futuristic tech manual that's designed for anyone to read without any specialized training or knowledge.
It reminded me a little bit of like the illustrations that accompany like Fallout, where they're very clean and like it might be something like very preposterous and incredibly strange, but it's done in such a way that you're like, oh, I understand exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was the fun of it for sure. And that's sort of the fun of the book, right? Is it's a sincere effort to prepare you for being strained in the past, which is probably, I'll say it, probably not going to happen to most of the people listening to this right now.
We can hope.
I'm prepared to go out on a limb, yeah. But on one sense, it feels crazy to spend years of your life writing a book for a scenario that is so unlikely. But on the other hand, it was so fun to learn, and it was something that I've been worried about since I was a kid, right? I've worried that if I got sent back in time, I would be a useless time traveler, that I would say, hey, guys, the future's great. We have, you know, soap and antibiotics and computers. And they'd say, great, how do you invent those? And I'd say, I don't know. I wanted to be the guy who's like, oh, yeah, here's how you do it. Bam, bam, bam. And so at the end of writing this book and hopefully at the end of reading it, you'll feel both like a more competent time traveler, but you also hopefully feel like a more competent person. Just I feel better going through the world now and feeling like, you know, if I need to, I can generate electricity out of magnets and wire. I have that knowledge in case it's necessary. It's sort of a feeling of being a more competent person, which is nice.
So with this book, you know, as you're talking about it, it has informed like your understanding of the world around you as it is today. Like, and like you said, if you got stuck in a situation where there was no way for you to make electricity, but you have access to wire and batteries, you can now make electricity. Do you feel like this book could be like useful as like an educational tool, like a way to show kids, hey, this is how these things work? You know, you may not understand like the broader scope of how spoken and written language works, but here's how to develop it and here's how it developed.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny because I had someone on Twitter say, like, I never understood why you couldn't divide by zero. And then you explain in your book why you can't divide by zero. And I finally get it. And I was like, oh, yeah, like when you're writing a nonfiction book, you want it to be educational, but you also – you don't want to write a textbook, right? You want it to be fun and entertaining. And I had some trouble with that where there is one part in the book where it explains how music works, how to embed instruments, how to read and write sheet music, building up to this gag where it has all these songs you can plagiarize and pass off as your own work in the past. But yes, I composed this song. I call it Pachelbel's Canon. I mean my name canon. And – at the end of that, I wanted to have the sheet music for Salt and Peppa's Shoop, which would contrast really nicely against all these like great songs in European canon and then, you know, 80s hip-hop. And I could not get the people in charge of licensing that to understand what the book was. They're like, is it a textbook? I was like, no, it's a nonfiction, but it's got a little bit of fiction wrapped around the sides of it. And it's sort of like this fun time travel book. And they're like, oh, so it's for a class? And I'm like, no, it's going to be published. It's real. And I could not get them to understand. I realized afterwards that, you know, the amount of money you pay to license sheet music is not a lot of money, and it wasn't worth their time to figure out what I was trying to do with this. So
that's awesome.
Instead of Shoop, there's the sheet music for the Tetris theme song, which is also, it turns out, a Russian folk music song that I could get royalty free. Didn't have to pay anyone to use that.
Oh, it's interesting.
Which is nice. Yeah.
So when you're looking at, you know, you start with like numbers and, you know, basic math and things like that. So what happens if you get stuck like right before the Industrial Revolution? Like, do you delve into like really complicated concepts like, you know, mechanization or like, you know, how a computer works or any of those kinds of things?
Yeah, the book actually, the last thing in the book explains how to build a computer from scratch at any time period. So computational machinery. Getting water to do computations for you instead of your own mind, which is, I feel like it's this amazing point in history where humans are inherently very lazy. Like, we don't do work if we don't have to. And the first computers are the first machines we had that turned physical labor, turning a crank or something, into thinking, into processing numbers. And that was the first time we could offload the work our minds were doing onto a machine. So I wanted to include that. But the book's built for whatever time period you're in to be useful. And if you're in the industrial, or just before the Industrial Revolution, the great advantage you have in the book is that you understand how a steam engine works. The people who built steam engines did not understand how they worked. There's an amazing quote from someone at the time, I forget who, saying, the steam engine, science owes more to the steam engine than the steam engine owes to science, which is basically saying people built these machines, didn't know how they worked, and by studying them, they were like, oh, this is thermodynamics. This is the movement of heat. This is teaching us a lot about basic physics, but just studying how these miraculous engines we invented worked. And there's all these moments in history where things get invented and no one understands how they work. There's an amazing quote in the book from one of the early inventors of radio, and the guy in this radio book I was reading described it as like the inventor throughout all the time applying for patents didn't understand how his invention worked. And his radio was more the persistent accumulation of error than any actual invention. It's like, wow, that's inspiring. You can be so screwed up and still produce something useful. Like, I think that's great. That makes me feel really good about myself.
So the one thing that I'm like kind of fascinated by, what does your bookshelf look like? Like, what is like, do you just have a billion books about different kinds of like sciences and history? Like, what kind of books are you like consuming on a regular basis to write a book?
That is exactly it. One of my favorite types of books, or anything really, is a subject where you take a single small subject matter and you put everything you can learn about that one subject into it. Like, there's a great documentary about Helvetica. It's called Helvetica. It's about the font Helvetica.
I have watched this movie. It's really, really great. Yeah.
It's great. You walk in, you watch the movie, you walk in, you're like, now I know about Helvetica. Like, that issue, that small subject matter is taken care of for the rest of my life. I've got Helvetica covered.
What's crazy is I remember watching that movie, and for like months afterwards, I was like, hey, that's Helvetica on that sign.
Yeah. See it everywhere. The A shape. You always notice it. But I you can get books about that for other subjects. I have a book about screws covering that, salt, paper, just like single subject matters. And I love reading those books to write my book, where just sort of I could learn everything I could about this one subject and then take the condensed sort of low-hanging fruit version of it that you could build from scratch at any point in history and put that into my book. So it was really a lot of fun to research. Assuming you find learning about science fun, which I hope you do, because it's awesome. That's what this book is.
So this distillation process of you taking like basically one particular point, like you said, so paper, let's say paper, and
right.
you've taken all the information you can find about paper and you've distilled it into like these basic, this is how you make paper and this is how you kind of like push it into the future to create this like new world.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take? Like, how long did you spend researching for this, just this book, to take all these different subjects, read as much as you can about them, and then distill them down to their basics?
Oh, several years. This book has its beginning in a t-shirt I did. I think it's the first book ever based on a t-shirt. And this t-shirt, I think, is around 2010, maybe 2012, where it's just sort of – it's a time traveler's cheat sheet t-shirt that has everything you need on this shirt for if you get stranded in the past. And obviously it's in much less detail, but it was sort of – this first version of that was on this shirt. And I thought, great, I've scratched this itch. And then it turns out I hadn't scratched it, so I kept wanting to learn more and more about it. And so I have been reading about this since that shirt. And that's at least 6, maybe 8, maybe 10 years. You kind of lose track, right, in a sense. But it's also – it's really satisfying, I find, to learn about something and then understand it and then try to explain it to someone else for this particular purpose. And there was stuff I read that had no use for time travel where I was like, oh, this actually is far more complex and I can't include it in my book. One of the examples of that is you need clean water if you're stuck in the past. And so you can use charcoal to filter that. You can boil it to kill the bacteria in it. But I thought, what if I included chlorinated water? Because that's what we use in the modern era. Chlorine, there's instructions how to make chlorine gas in the book, which you need to bake some chemicals. So what if I just put in instructions for chlorinated water? And it turns out the range at which the amount of chlorine you put in water is safe and doesn't produce toxic water is actually pretty small. And I couldn't figure out a way to make it hit that number reliably with stuff you'd be inventing in the past from scratch. So I couldn't include my chapter on chlorinated water in the end.
So that you don't inadvertently like kill off the human race in
kill
the
people,
past.
Yeah. Both in the past or in the present. The legal team made us add this fun disclaimer to the book saying this book contains instructions and materials that may be dangerous. And all they wanted was that sentence to be included. And I was like, great. So I put that in. Then after that, if you read the small print in the front, it says, you know, this book may include instructions or materials that may be dangerous. And that's right, because once you read the book, you'll have that instructions in your head. So when you meet somebody, people say, hey, I know instructions that may be dangerous. Nice to meet you. Let's go party.
That's awesome. You know, in a lot of ways, like, so back in the 90s, like being like a punk rock kid, one of the things that like I was constantly trying to hunt down from local bookstores was a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook, because it teaches you how to make like all these like insane things, like half of which were just complete and total nonsense and bullshit.
No, I did the same thing and I was like, this is baloney.
But I feel like you've created like a real Anarchist Cookbook. Like, okay, society is dissolved. Here you go. Like, this is how we redo it, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny. I read about a bunch of survivalist books in researching this, because part of surviving the past is just surviving in the first place. And there are tons of survivalist books that are just insane and wrong. And like, they're through actual publishers. The one that blew my mind, the guy was saying, look, after the apocalypse, you're going to need food. And so what you'll want to do is go into a city and find like dry goods on the shelf, tin goods. Don't worry about expiry dates, because food doesn't go bad. That's a government fiction. Food doesn't go bad because if you think about it, bacteria eat food when it goes bad, and the bacteria are fine. So it's just fine. It tastes bad, but food is safe to eat no matter how decayed it is. And I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, that's pretty much a good way to kill yourself.
Well, the kicker is it was like update to the second edition. And he's like, okay, so I had some fish and got botulism. So some food can go bad. Fish can go bad.
That's awesome.
But other food is still fine. I was like, how do you – what is this?
It's insane. So yeah. So I feel like I hear your dog in the background. Is that correct?
I kicked him out. But okay. Yes, that's true.
So I was reading your bio, and I saw that your dog is named Noam Chomsky.
Yes.
And that is – beautiful and hilarious, and I just wanted to put that out into the public. That's really all there is to it.
Chomsky with a P, because he's a dog.
Is he a philosopher on all things political and dog related?
He's a philosopher and linguist, yes. The best part about naming your dog Noam Chomsky is that with that P there for the pun, that's like clearly his name. It's Chomp with a P means the dog. But a lot of people don't know how to spell Noam Chomsky, the linguist and philosopher's name, and so they put the P in there anyway. And so when you search like Twitter for Noam Chomsky, you're like, ah, man, Noam Chomsky's such a jerk. I disagree with everything he stands for. And it's like, ah, I like him. He's cute.
Like, he's a really lovable pet. Like, what is your problem?
Like, he stands for treats, I guess, and pets. Not a lot to disagree with there. I'm sorry you're so vehemently opposed to my dog.
Down with the rawhide toy patriarchy. That's awesome. As soon as I read that, I was like, this will probably be a really fun interview.
No, great. We got stuck in a hole together. Did you read that story?
I did not read that story.
So the short version of it is we were walking through a skate park with one of those deep skate bowls. And it was raining and there was graffiti. I thought, oh, I'll take a picture of Chomsky in this hole. So it looked really cool with the cool graffiti in the background. So we hop in the hole. We take the picture. And then I realized that the rain has made the cement very slick and I can't get out with him. We're stuck in this hole. And so I posted on Twitter being like, hypothetically, if I'd hop into a hole to get this picture, how would I get out? Hypothetically speaking. And over the course of the next 50 minutes, people gave me suggestions some good, some bad. One was I had to take off my shirt to make a sling to carry Chomsky and then get out with that. But the sling was way too small, which resulted in me being topless and stuck in a hole, which hadn't really improved my predicament. But at the end, a Twitter suggestion got me out, and I managed to escape the hole with Chomsky, and everything was great. And then by the time I got home, it turns out The Guardian, the UK paper, had written a story about it. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I messed up walking my dog so badly it made the news.
That's awesome. Did you get any responses on Twitter that were like, you're writing a book about reinventing society. Figure it out on your own, buddy.
This is the thing. I hadn't publicly announced I was writing the book, so no one knew that this supposedly clever guy got stuck in a hole with his dog. one of the funny responses, though, was someone saying, you know, I don't understand why he got stuck in this hole. I bet it's a publicity stunt. He's probably going to try to sell something. And I was like, what? Like, what I learned from being stuck in a hole for 50 minutes? What is the end game you see here?
the stuck at a skate park story. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well, Ryan, can you let our listeners know how they can find your new book?
Yeah, if you go to howtoinventeverything.com, there's links there to buy it from everywhere from indie booksellers to giant conglomerates that will take your money just as happily. And you can find out more about me at ryannorth.ca because I'm Canadian.
Nice. And are there what are some of the other projects that we can like look forward to you know, putting out? Because I know you're on Unbeatable Squirrel Girl and
yes,
some other stuff. But what are some of the other things that people can look out for?
There's Squirrel Girl coming out every month and trades every couple months. There is a secret project that's not announced yet that should be out next year that I'm very excited about, but I can't tell you a single thing about it. So keep your eye out for exciting things with my name on them, I guess, and then maybe look at that. But mostly, if this voice makes you think, I want to hear more from that guy, I'm on Twitter all the time. It's at Ryan Q North, as in Quentin, and that's full of jokes and just a tiny, tiny bit of self-promotion, but mostly jokes and hangouts.
Nice. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. Your book sounds like an indispensable like volume full of knowledge for when we're inadvertently stuck in the past. So
that's precisely what it is.
That's awesome.
What I was shooting for.
Well, thanks again, man.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey everybody, it's Clyde from the Old Still Radio Show, and this is why you need to listen to us. Number one, we may not be the biggest podcast out there.
I like being the underdog.
But we are one of the best.
It's magic. Yeah. It really is.
Secondly, we have a southern charm, and we tend to make a lot of sense.
I mean, he can't molest anybody when he's dead.
Right. And I hate to tell you people, we're pretty fucking funny.
Is that hilarious? Yeah.
But let's not forget about our most important part, the weather girl.
Never talked about the weather. You're the weather girl. Nope.
That's sugar tits for those who don't know.
It's not hilarious. Welcome. That's going to get you cut.
So if you haven't gotten a feel for it, this is what the show is like, and we invite you guys to come out and check us out. We are the Old Still Radio Show with number two, Preach, Clyde, and Sugar Tits. Find us at www.oldstillradioshow.com or on Facebook at Old Still Radio Show or on Twitter at Old Still Radio. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. So, yo, come on out and check out the Old Still Radio Show. We guarantee you're going to have a good time.
This is Ben Wander, creator of A Case of Distrust, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Oh yeah,
I do it every day.
What is the 3 a.m. challenge? Is that just
that's not a fun. That doesn't sound like
that's
a
not
challenge.
A challenge.
It sounds like staying up till 3 a.m.
Yeah.
If it was like, if it was like stay up till 3 a.m. and like
after taking a handful of Tylenol PMs or something. I like to.
And we're back.
Like a whole box of NyQuil. Stay up till 3.
Oh, we're recording. Well, yeah, here we are. We don't have pounds, fistfuls of NyQuil or anything in us.
Yeah, just normal stuff.
Yeah.
Not fistfuls.
Just normal downers.
Doing the Mexicans.
Yeah. I don't take my Tylenol PMs through.
My mouth, anyway.
Your ass? They go in the ass? Yeah. You boof them?
I boof them. Suppository. Oh, with a bottle of wine. Yeah.
So my old man, boofing is the quick way.
My old man for this episode has to do with what Tim and I watch after Mandy. And it actually took me about an hour of being awake.
Male porn.
To remember what we watched.
Guy on guy.
We actually watched a couple episodes of Monty Python, The Best Bits Mostly, which is like a new TV show where comedians talk about their favorite Monty Python skits, and then they show the skits, right? So,
oh man,
I don't know how familiar you guys are with Monty Python, but I had this amazing experience last weekend. One of the skaters on my daughter's roller derby team, who's actually over on the couch right now too, I was watching an episode.
Two? No, just by herself.
Anyway, so she was sitting on the couch, and I'm sitting there watching Monty Python Best Bits. And she gets, like, about halfway through one of the skits, and she literally just looks over and goes, "What in the hell are we watching?" I was like, "It's Monty Python. Like, it's just, it's weird."
I think it's pretty much lost upon the new generation. Well,
Some of the best comedy ever made.
So last night, Tim and I are sitting there watching it, and we can't stop laughing, like, because it's so
bizarre, a newt.
And so stupid.
Well, I got better.
It's genuinely, like, some of the best sketch comedy that's ever been.
The karate class about... So the whole premise is, like, you're taking the self-defense class in case you're attacked by somebody with fresh fruit. And, like, he gives the guy a banana. So he gives the guy a banana. He goes, "All right, now you try to attack me." After, like, going through this whole routine, like, the guy runs at him with the banana, and
he kind of, like, half-ass, like, goes at him, just kind of pokes the banana at him, and he's all, "No, do it again," at me, screaming, like, really take charge of the situation, really act it out. And the guy,
pulls out a gun and shoots him.
He's all, "And that's how you defend yourself against someone attacking you with a banana."
The thing is, there's not who really does sketch comedy anymore. Key and Peele, I mean, but
they're not around anymore.
No, like that's Saturday, not really a thing.
Saturday
anymore.
Night Live has sketch comedy,
but
still,
they almost
but
went out of business.
But it, and it's not. It's
they're
not
only doing
like
well
that.
Now because of Donald Trump.
It's
yeah.
not like that. It's just such a bizarre. Like the one that I really, really enjoyed.
I don't
enjoyed,
even know that I would call it. Sketch comedy. I mean, it is, but I don't know how to call it that.
It's like a weird mix of like improv and sketch comedy. Like yeah. It's the strangest thing. But like genuinely, my favorite skit that we watched last night was the gangs of grandmas that are like wandering
oh, yeah.
around this town,
violent.
And
like
they're like interviewing like dudes in biker jackets. They're like, "This was such a nice town until the grandmas showed up and started beating people up." Like it's just so stupid and like ridiculous, and their accents make it. Like amazing, it's just I don't know. Monty Python.
I love British humor, which is very weird to say.
I like
you don't find people like that. It is very fucking dry
and bizarre, like just so strange.
The skit with the therapeutic argument session.
Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
You're just contradicting. You're not arguing. No, I'm not.
I think it's like went on for like 5 minutes, and we were both like. That had to have been a difficult scene to film anyway.
Right, because the memorization and the timing of the lines is always 100% on point.
Do you think that that's a facet of memorizing and scripting?
I think a big part of it is.
Well, it has to be.
They probably have... There's these touch points.
No, there's a lot of quick-witted comedians who can fucking come up with some shit.
What I'm saying is they probably have – these are the touch points.
Right.
These are like the 5 points we need to hit. We have this amount of time, and there's got to be somebody that has eyes on a clock the entire time, right. And they just go back and forth.
I don't know if it's true. I don't even know if I read it, but I think I did.
So it's a load of bullshit is what
here
you're saying.
Go. Here we go.
I think I did really, but
you pulled your bunghole
out. I think
they
said that a lot of Thor Ragnarok was almost shot like that.
Yeah.
Like they got to the point where they were so familiar with their characters where they were just like, this has to happen in this scene. Besides that, there's no script.
That's how comedies work.
No! We cannot steal pizza out of the fucking trash can. Get it!
Oh, that's where I get all my best pizza from.
And it's trash.
So I like Seinfeld for the same reason. It's not British. It's not British, but it's very dry fucking comedy. And, it's,
and quick.
I love it. Like, I love it.
I'm not the hugest Seinfeld fan in retrospect because I think a lot of the bits were very relevant to their time.
Right.
And so they don't land like nearly as well as they used to. But
it doesn't hold up like Frasier holds up.
Nothing holds up like Frasier holds up. That show's really good.
I like Frasier, but I like Frasier better. I do like Frasier, though. I do like Frasier.
Okay,
so
let's... Frasier.
Anybody else like MASH? What is going on?
MASH is unbelievably good.
Dude, I'm watching MASH again right now, and it's still fucking good.
MASH is emotional. Like, that show is like...
The movie made me cry like a motherfucker. The ending movie?
That movie, the movie and the show are like this perfect blend of comedy and like real serious stuff.
I don't like MASH. I don't like MASH.
What about you? What's an old sitcom you like?
I'm watching Family Matters.
An old sitcom I like?
Ooh, I don't even know how to do that, but...
I watched a fuckload of Cheers.
You just don't like
I like Cheers a lot, too. And that's where Frasier comes from.
I was never... I've only seen Cheers when I was, like, small. So I've never... Now in my adult life, I've never, like, been like, I should rewatch Cheers. I don't remember liking it then, but I think I'd like it now. Because I like all the people in it.
So. I remember when my dad went from not being sober to getting sober... And we would watch Cheers, and it was like this weird, like, emotional catharsis for him where he's like, man, I miss going to the bar. He like, oh, no, it's awesome.
A stretch. Coach?
I liked Coach.
I did not like that.
I don't know why. That was another
that was
show.
To be honest, I haven't seen Coach
I like that show. It's been a long time.
So
I don't know if it holds up. Family Matters is another one that I don't know if it holds up, but I still like
it. No, I'm thinking of Family Ties with
that's
Michael
funny
J. Fox.
Too. I like
that
show
one
too.
Funny, so Family 80s. Ties. Like,
oh, yeah. Did you make a joke about Parkinson's disease
again? I wasn't, but now I can if you want me to.
Right?
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox just shakes his fist with.
Yeah. Michael J. Fox, the original shake weight. Hey.
Wow.
Back to that believe in something fucking meme that you posted.
That was fucked up.
It was amazing.
That was fucked up.
All right, so Tim, you said you can pull an old man pick.
So I have an old man pick for a band.
Music.
Yes, because they just dropped.
I'm just kidding. It's funny because
did you like the Baby Shark video that I posted for you on Real Long Boxers?
One, I don't hear the Baby Shark thing very often, but I thought that was funny.
Baby Shark.
Giving you shit, even though our most downloaded episode is the one with the band in it. So.
This is true.
Yeah, it's weird.
Maybe we should have more bands.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm okay with that.
Me too. I love music.
Yeah.
So
we should get the people who do music for movies. Tie it back in.
I like it.
Wow.
Can we get more Fringe? No, we can't. Those people are crucially important to films being successful, and nobody knows who they are.
Right?
I have no idea.
The general public. I guarantee, like, the music that goes into movies,
right.
Unless it's like a really popular band who makes songs for a movie,
or like Zimmer, the guy that does like Pirates of the Caribbean
Hans
and stuff.
Zimmerman.
But most people just don't give a shit.
Andrew Zimmern?
Or the guy that does all the Star Wars music. I can't remember
John
his
Williams.
Fucking name. Yeah, him.
Yeah.
People know who he is. I know who he is. I don't know his name, though.
There's maybe half a dozen score writers that are famous.
Who's the guy who made the Jaws theme? See? I don't even know
I think that's John Williams, too.
Yeah.
See, I don't even know who John Williams is.
He's the guy that wrote the Star Wars themes.
No, I know that, but I mean in the scope of like real... Like you say, famous. Like, I don't know who that is.
You wrote the theme to Jaws and Star Wars?
I think so.
You'd
I know.
Be able to walk
he,
into
I know,
a room and drop trout.
I know. For,
suck
I know.
It.
I know for sure. He
now
did.
He's writing the theme of his prison.
I know for sure he did Indiana Jones.
You go to jail
because he dropped trout.
If he dropped trout,
right?
I think the judge will let it pass.
That's a straight up Weinstein.
I would be like, I wrote Jaws.
He's like
and Star Wars, bitch.
Bottom. 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 Bottom.
Drop trout, dick.
It has a little fucking fan on.
So what band are we talking about?
So one of my favorite bands from my childhood, a band called Coheed and Cambria, just brought out a new album. Just brought out a new album, and
I'm just surprised that's one of his favorite bands from his childhood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just doesn't strike me as a.
They're like a newer prog kind
really
of band.
My newer?
They're like They're like, it's like rock. The modern Rush.
I'm not saying they're bad anyway. Yeah. I didn't assume that about.
No, I love that band, and their new album's awesome. And their
white is what he's trying to say.
Yeah. Probably. And they're revisiting the whole Amory War thing, which is
which
nice.
Is interesting because it ties into a comic book.
Yes.
Like the Amory War book is written by. One of the guys in the
Claudio
band.
Sanchez, the lead
Why
guy.
You gotta say it like
Claudio
that?
Because that's his name.
Because it's a
you
fun
say
name.
Claudio Sanchez.
Because it's a fun name, asshole.
Claudio Sanchez.
Claudio Sanchez.
Francisco. That's fun to say. Francisco.
Yeah, it's a fucking fun name to say. But yeah, Emery Wars is awesome, and like. Even like before he started like coming out, people were like putting one and one together. That way, these lyrics tell a story. And that's been going on since Second Stage Turbine, which was like 95-ish without looking it up. 94, 95 when that album came out.
94.
He's just being a prick. He has no idea.
I'd fucking believe it because that was like just starting high school when they started releasing albums.
But I don't know.
So when you revisit like...
You were just starting high school in 94?
I was in middle school then, but... Probably. Fuck, I don't know. I'm old.
I was, like I was 8 years old.
I was a sophomore in high school in 94. Right?
How fucking old are you? You're
33? No, that was middle school.
Years older than
I was
that.
Middle school. Freshman in 94.
Oh, they said 84. I was like, how fucking old are you?
Yeah, I'm 50. No.
84. Fuck. I was negative 3 years old.
So have been raped by Gabe.
Jesus pretty sure he's a pedophile.
So when you...
I was real young back in the day.
Never was. You are not my type.
I was young and impressionable.
Shit. Hashtag me too.
Yeah. Hashtag me dos.
I don't even want to tell a joke right now because it'll just sound weird and off-putting.
No,
like,
all right.
In a gross way.
Well, you raped Doyle. Fuck.
But I wasn't that off of it, honestly.
Yeah, so you were right on it.
When you go back, and revisit like older albums from like bands that are still coming out with music, like which do you prefer? Do you tend to prefer their new albums or
like,
their older albums?
Because I went through this problem with another favorite band, Thrice, where they went in this like completely different direction after the first like two or three albums. They were like just
betrayed.
They were like very techie but still kind of basic sounding metal and like very singy, and then they went and did this album. It was called like Visu or something. I can't pronounce it. And it was like incredibly.
Visu.
Hashtag me too.
But these are face fart. But Gabe gets that joke. Yeah. But they went like way experimental and like it wasn't really well received except by like the weird diehard fans. And then that band kind of like dropped off the earth. Yeah. So like bands from like that time period, they don't do well when they try to switch it up. But Coheed was already pretty fucking bizarre anyway because Claudio's voice is.
Different.
Very different.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They kind of, like, maintained.
I tend to like...
Like, the lyrics...
Like, earlier works from bands than newer works, just because...
I mean, they have...
Do you think
like
it's just nostalgia?
Usually.
No, I don't... Typically, I don't... This sounds so weird, but I like when a band has an idea and they stick with it, as opposed to having an idea and, like...
Going off the rails.
If you evolve over time, I tend to like it. But if you evolve too much at once, it tends to just kind of turn me off because like I'm just not anticipating it. Like Metallica's Load and Reload, I just wasn't anticipating.
Saint Anger.
I don't think a lot of people are anticipating.
But when I go back, if I go back and re-listen
fucking Saint Anger,
like, Divorce,
Load is a load of shit.
It's not though. Like it's actually a really good album if you don't think of it as like a Metallica album.
Okay, maybe. But like I only have the reference of a Metallica album.
Exactly, and that's what it took for me was to be like, okay, this isn't really a Metallica album. This is just them being dipshits, like
completely skating over.
I'm talking about
Saint Anger, which is absolute shit.
I'm ignoring every time you say that. Like, I don't acknowledge that it exists.
What? Saint Anger?
What?
What?
What? What? No, go ahead.
I was going to ask you.
What?
What? Just put the glass shatter every time he says Saint Anger.
Saint.
It's so weird to think about, like, that level of stuff that we used to like is just, like, the irrelevance of it now on the newer generations.
The irrelevance? Is that what you said? Or
yeah,
the irrelevance?
The irrelevance.
Oh, okay.
Should
like,
try
you
to
were
get...
talking about... God, what the...
Wait for it.
Your pop... Your
Wait, oh, Monty pick. Python?
Yeah, just... And, like, how that's pretty much lost today, I think.
Completely, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember I think it was like a year and a half ago. I was listening to Nine Inch Nails, right? And my niece walks through the room, and she goes, "I fucking hate emo." And I was like, "So do I." And then she keeps walking. She's like, "Ugh," keeps walking, and it took me like 5 minutes to go, like, "You talking about Nine Inch Nails?
You son of a bitch!
Is it emo? Fuck you!"
This is pretty but incredibly like, intense industrial music.
I thought we were having a fucking moment right now.
But I was just like, it's so weird that all this stuff is just like not the same.
I do love that people like to tell me I listen to emo music when I listen to metal. I think you misunderstand what you're saying.
Or, I get that from some of my friends too.
I hate that screamo stuff. I'm all, oh, this is not a screamo band. This is right. Like a straight up like death metal band.
Like I put on fucking.
See, I don't label anything. If I can't hear the fucking what you're saying over, then I'm out. I don't give a fuck if it's death metal or screamo fucking whatever it is.
I understand that. It's when people that know the difference between music, they're like, hey, this is terrible screamo. I was like, this came out decades before that was a word. Like, this is deicide, bitch.
Yeah. Well, if something comes out before a thing is defined, is it still not definable by that word?
Correct.
I don't know if that's true, but
that's
why there's old people still calling Led Zeppelin that's heavy metal.
Shit. Oh, man. Have you ever seen the video of Led Zeppelin? So Led Zeppelin.
I just put it under the rock. It's all rock to me.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So Led Zeppelin.
Good blanket statement. Bon Jovi, hardest metal I've ever heard.
Probably was considered that at a time.
The Jovi.
It probably was, honestly.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Led Zeppelin did this concert in London that they like simulcast and all this other stuff with John Bonham's son as the drummer, because obviously John Bonham's dead, right?
Bonham Jr.
And so Robert Plant gets on stage.
Junior Bonham.
And he goes, Junior Bonham. He gets on stage and he
Bonham
goes,
Esquire.
Some people call us the godfathers of metal. And because of that, we're very sorry. Like, he apologized for any part that they had in creating heavy metal because they think of themselves as a blues band. And I thought that was really interesting.
Because, I can see that.
But they predate heavy metal, so no, they cannot be qualified as heavy metal because that was not a thing. But, yeah.
But that doesn't hold true against all genres.
Yes, it does.
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm just being a prick.
I don't think it does.
Oh, man.
I was listening to Cardi B yesterday.
Mel hates Cardi B for some reason.
I don't know.
She has some weird-looking boobs.
I think she's hilarious.
I just think she's
a lot of
boobs.
People are bad influences.
Yeah. Juan is a bad influence.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Yeah, you are.
God, I hope not.
Anyway, good band. Good
time. This Fireball
good new album.
Beer, Bailey.
Oh, yeah. Bailey.
Hannah.
Oh, God, please, yes. Let her go to
that
sleep.
That was a lot of alliteration. Holy shit.
He's like,
so that was it. Good band.
No
good new album.
Nice.
Listen to it.
I'm glad you're liking it.
Listen to their old shit, too. Listen, read Claudio's books. He's got
Claudio
Sanchez.
Like that. Yeah,
I
yeah.
feel he's, like a lot of the reviews that I've seen for their new album have been pretty positive. So
yeah, I like
people
it.
Are liking it.
It's so. It's a good step back to like where they were when they like exploded.
Right.
So
all over your face, neck, and chest.
Absolutely.
Their hair is ridiculous, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Them and the guys in the Mars Volta should have like.
We should
hair
try and
battles.
Get him on the show because his comics are really cool too.
I think we had someone from Amory War on the show at one point.
Amory War, yeah. And then he's got another book called Translucid,
you
which is
look
really
at the,
cool.
Oh, you know what? I may
could
be
look
think,
at the PDF.
I may be thinking of when we interviewed the managing editor of Dark Horse because I think the book is coming out on Dark Horse.
Of yeah. Dark Horse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
I don't think it was Dark Horse.
Scott Alley.
Amory War?
Alan? Alley? Was he Dark Horse?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was somebody else. Didn't he just get, like, in trouble?
I have no
Not
idea.
Not too long
kind
ago.
Kind of having an impromptu old man about the show. I like it. We need
check,
to save this for next
the,
episode, though,
check
when it's
PDF
more relevant.
File.
I will.
Wait, is John coming on?
No. Apparently not. I haven't heard from him, so I just glaze over it.
For shame, John.
Glaze over it.
Glaze over it. Well, it sounds like we're getting towards the end of the episode.
I think so.
This is the part where I say things and you guys interrupt
oh,
me.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Let's do it. We're ready.
Episode 100. It's monumental.
100.
I'm getting
when
one,
did you become
I'm
like an old
tattoo
fucking hick?
Before that tattoo, I think. I'm getting a tattoo in Cuba.
You're getting dubs tatted?
Tat.
I don't know
that
getting
up.
A tattoo in Cuba is
safe.
Doing a lot of research. Like, they've gotten they've got in just in Havana from
the
everything I've read.
Is way down.
I went to
way down.
No, honestly, I think like the general like American idea of Cuba is that it's just like horrible third world country. So. When and actually, it's not, like it's fucking nice
it's
there.
Very
like
clean.
I don't know. I watched like a pretty detailed documentary not shot that long ago, and it's not that it's.
It's
dirty.
Not,
it's
just
that
old.
It's
everything
old,
there is old,
and it is poor.
So yeah. There. So I was watching this. So I went on TripAdvisor because there's a they have forums there.
Yeah.
And so I made an account. I'm starting to ask about if there's any reputable places. Has anybody gotten tattooed there? And there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, I've gotten my 8th, 9th, and 10th tattoo there. Blah blah blah. Here's some places.
Only one of my fingers fell off.
Yeah, yeah. But I was watching a video of one of the guys who
I do have
who. Who,
I didn't before. It's possible.
I was watching a video of the tattoo parlor of the guy who says that you can't readily get like gloves and you know cleanly things like that, so they have to have people bring them in for them. Huh. So they still use. So he had said, and I don't know if this is the right statistic, but he had said they were one of 3 or 4 completely sterile tattoo places that you could go to.
Nice,
where it was an actual front, not somebody's living room and shit like that. And he's like, we do everything we can because we want to be. We're working with lawyers and we're doing all these things where we want to be a legit place.
That's cool.
Come so it's actually yes. I it's actually feels like it's a moving kind of movement a moving movement does yes. That make any sense?
Yeah, there's a lot of really interesting stuff when it comes to Cuba. Like I watched an episode of a show where they talked about how people get their television and movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a guy that like has a jump drive that he like gets in the mail from somebody, you know, that has like a terabyte of freaking like TV and movies and stuff. And you go to this guy once a week and he like gives you shows and movies to watch that are for you for the week. And then you bring back your jump drive on Friday and for like, you know, $2 or whatever, he just uploads new shows and movies onto it. And that's how they watch television and movies and stuff. Like
super illegal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But like, it's just, there's so many.
The whole country's like fire sticking it.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, but there's so many interesting ways that
yeah, they don't
people
do that
have
in the United States.
That people have found like workarounds.
Certainly not in Greeley.
We don't have access to this thing, so we're going to find a way to get into it.
But it's cool because, like I said, I obviously don't want to get a tattoo from some fly by night in the alley or something because I know. But there are
what
a few.
What makes you want to get tattooed there since you're not tattooed?
I'm tattooed.
Where?
I have tattoos on my legs. I have tattoos on my neck. I have like 7 tattoos.
He's got shark teeth on the tip of his dick.
Yeah,
we
bro.
Just talked about this.
I have tattoos.
I guess if you're like not as tattooed as Gabe or I, just don't say you're tattooed.
Well, and John's not. John doesn't have any.
I gotta work a professional.
Is John
job
gonna
right
get
now.
100th episode tattooed?
No.
His wife won't let him.
John.
Yeah, his wife won't let him.
Don't be a bitch, John. You already like,
but I think the one that I'm going to get in Cuba is just going to be my wedding
name.
Ring. I think the one I'm going to get in Cuba is just around my finger,
like a wedding ring.
Yeah,
nice. So,
it's just going to be small.
If I ever get married, which is unlikely, that is the way I'll wear a wedding ring.
Well, I mean, if you want to see pictures of that, you can definitely visit all of our social medias. You can start out by going to our website.
I'm
going to
try and take pictures
except
every
that you
day.
Definitely,
I have Wi-Fi. In,
cannot
on the
friend
ship,
Juan
so.
On Facebook. I mean, you can, but
he's not going
to. No, don't friend me. Go like the page. Don't friend Juan.
Juan, how do we get to that page? You go to our website. Yeah. It's at www.totlb.com.
Well, question.
You can, no, you can find us on
that
Instagram or Twitter at Outside Longbox.
Sorry,
we don't ask you things that are relevant.
I know.
You can find us on Facebook.
Anything like D&D.
Oh my god, you bitch.
There it is. I was waiting for the interruption. I was like, Gabe's really plowing ahead right through this conversation. There it was.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TOTLB. You can go to YouTube.
I am taking my recorder, by the way. So I think at least a handheld one so that I can see if I can get talk to anybody over
there.
That'd
be really cool.
I think it'd be cool. I am going to try and update the page every day. Because I.
English.
I want. I want to look at. I don't think it's going to be in English.
I think you also need to find the best Cuban sandwich in Cuba.
Yes, I agree with you.
I think that
and
should be
cigar,
like a special.
It might require you to eat a lot of bad Cuban sandwiches.
That's okay.
I feel like
oh no,
he's willing to make.
Oh no,
straight up.
This Cuban, the they're all like, "What is this sandwich?"
I'd be amazing.
Yeah, we
if
just
Cuban
call this
sandwiches are not from Cuba.
We call it an American.
American sandwiches?
An American sandwich in Cuba. We call it an American because all the Americans
like
come here looking for it.
Offshoot of like an American werewolf in London.
It's bologna.
An American sandwich in Cuba.
Mayo.
So hopefully when Juan goes to Cuba, he'll take some video that we can put on our YouTube page, tinyurl.com/TOTLBTube. There are now quick reviews coming out every Monday.
Get some.
And also
– get it.
Well, we'll get to the next part.
Whammy.
You can
whammy.
Email us. Pretty much anything. If you are like Ryan North and you have something that you've just created.
Ryan North is amazing.
Yeah, he was really cool to talk to. But if you are one of those creators.
Like Ryan South better.
Oh, man. Jesus, these are so fucking obnoxious to do. If you like Ryan North or a comic book creator, writer, artist, shut your fucking mouth. You can get in touch with us at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com and Juan will set up a time for you to be on the show because we'd love to have you on the show.
We have slowed down, so we'll get to you much quicker, I think.
Nice.
Now.
If you are a creator of any sort, go out, do your thing, make music, make comic books, make movies.
Almost any sort.
Even if they're terrible, we probably are interested in talking to you about it. And of course, if you have any comments, opinions, discussion points that you want to share with us on the show, you can give us a call at 970-573-6148, the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. May his midget wrestling ass rest in peace.
Please, we want voicemails for episode 100. So I'm going to do everything I can to get this out. Beep, soon, boop, boop. soon, so that we can
prep voicemails, comments.
Actually,
yeah.
that's
ratings.
Not coming for another 3 weeks or so, anyway.
Right. So we have a little bit of time.
You have some time, assholes.
But for sure.
But not after you listen to this.
We would love to hear what you have to say about
but
the
first. But if you knew about it right now, you would have some time.
We'll post on Facebook and social media and stuff.
Time? Yes.
We're going to
create an event.
We want to hear what you think of the first 100 episodes. So.
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Ooh, what's your favorite? What was your favorite pop culture classic? What was your favorite
episode?
Interview? Just
who's your favorite cast member?
What's your least favorite? Like, what's your least favorite thing? And that leads right into ways that you can support us. Of course, you can go to amazon.totlb.com and you can pick up pretty much whatever you want on Amazon. We get a little bit of a kickback. You can go to totlb.com/shop. And there's a few things on our shop that you can purchase, including some really...
I don't know what Doyle's trying to tell me from across the table.
It doesn't matter.
I was saying, did you bring my tumbler?
No.
a beautiful tumbler that Doyle bought off of our shop.
You may never get it. You can buy whatever you want.
You'll get it. Our listeners, they're not you.
The real people out there will get it.
The real people. Spending real money.
I'm going to give it to Gabe tonight. So then you can get it from Gabe whenever you want.
And of course,
I can already get it from Gabe whenever I want.
Of course, what I was alluding to is you can go to Patreon.
When I bought it from a Mexican, I knew I wasn't getting it right away. That's all I'm saying.
But don't let those other people. Don't you're painting a bad picture for other people.
Well, white people take care of the mailing. I'm sure.
No, I take care of the mailing.
Literally, I'm a white guy who
delivers
mail.
It.
If you're, in
I still
Parker.
Have to package it.
If you're in Parker,
if you're Parker.
Anyway, you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB, and as I alluded to, there's a new weekly episodic show called Favorite, Least Favorite, where we sit down with somebody, ask them their favorite things and least favorite. I haven't done Mel yet. Well, I mean, I've done Mel. But I haven't interviewed Tim or Mel yet. I'm going to do Tim today.
We need to
I can't wait.
I forgot the toys again, so when you come over to my house today, we got to unbox
them. All right, cool. We'll do that. But Favorite, Least Favorite comes out every Tuesday on patreon.com/TOTLB.
Can we get the toys before he does me?
For as little as $1 a month, you can watch those videos.
I think they'll get lost in you.
And all of that,
it's not that deep.
Supports the show, pushes us towards getting an 8-channel soundboard so that we can have more people on mic
and not drive Juan
crazy with editing. So
it's still going to drive me crazy. But.
Not safe for work images.
Anyway, with that said, I'm Gabe.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Tim.
I'm Juan.
And this has been episode 99 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. Look forward.
We're going to have new music?
Yeah, we should have new music.
New music.
Starting with episode 100.
Episode 100 is the last episode of this season.
Of this, that's right.
That's right.
You guys have seasons? We have seasons?
Well, dude, we should totally
episode
call
102
it.
Episode 101 is the start of the second season, bro.
New music.
Long ass fucking season.
4 years,
yeah,
maybe.
Get some. It's get
like
some.
It's like Dragon Ball Z, man. With less episodes.
Yeah, just like
but it took the same amount of time.
We've been creating a spirit bomb for the last however long.
I created the spirit bomb in fucking Gabe's bathroom earlier. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.